What's up, people? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Eastern Lariat. I'm your host, Dylan Fox. Striga, unfortunately, is on assignment. He's been doing a lot of things in his life, his superstar, fabulous life, going to WXW, 16 Karat. He got to see Abe, Irie, all kinds of legends, friends, had a lot of fun. Shout out to Striga, wherever you are, if you're listening to this. Know that I miss you, and he'll be back in the next episode, too. It should be like a week from now, maybe even less. We're going to do a show, but I wanted to pop in because we had an opportunity with the Big Noah show that just happened yesterday as we're recording. And when I want to talk about Noah, there's one name that you know that I'll go to. Dean! It's so good to have you back, man.
Dylan, what's up? Thanks for having me on. Really excited. And, yeah, shout-out Striga. Looking forward to hearing you guys talk New Japan Cup or talk whatever else is on your mind. But, yeah, looking forward to chatting about the Big Noah show yesterday.
He'll probably respond to stuff we say on here, too, on top of it. I'm sure he's got some thoughts. I know you listened to the last episode, especially about the main event. We had differing takes on the prediction there, and I'll be interested to hear his thoughts as well, considering how it played out overall. And, yeah, New Japan, All Japan, Noah. I don't know what else we'll talk about, to be honest. But there'll be something, I'm sure, going on. There's actually a lot of stuff going on right now in Japanese pro wrestling. Oh, I bet he definitely wants to talk about Judgment too. DDT coming in there, so we'll probably have all of that stuff. 5 hours. 5 hours. I'm gonna be watching Dean.
I don't know. That's a lot.
I know there's a lot of questions about the Noah booking team, but I think I might be the true crazy person in Japanese wrestling above any booker, I think, for doing this, but we'll see. I've looked at the card. I previewed it on my other show, Dramatic Dream Dragons. It should be a wrestling show. Undoubtedly, there will be fans in attendance, there will be matches, there's going to be referees. It's going to be a wrestling show just like you would expect from DDT. But we also had multiple wrestling shows we're going to talk about on Noah. Also, shout out to you, your first time now since we've been on the Cage Match feed as well. We started the Eastern Lariat. Thank you to all the listeners on Cage Match. We had a lot of people actually listen. I mean, if you listen to the regular feed and then you come to Cage Match, you listen to it twice, I love you. Thank you so much for that. But if you're a new listener, hopefully you guys enjoyed what we did. And Striga's the usual co-host, as you know, and he's a big shot on Cage Match anyway. He's like 10 levels above me on the Cage Match totem pole, as we all know. And we all know and love him for that. But Dean, you are there on Cage Match as well. I see you all the time rating matches and things like that.
Yeah, I slip them in when I can. I posted one today. There was the ratings for this Noah show are really bad. And I didn't think it was that bad of a show, but seems like I'm in the minority. It has a 4.88 right now on Cage Match.
I didn't even see that yet, unfortunately. But thank you to all the reviewers on Cage Match, too. We're going to talk about it. I'm gonna look at your scores, look at the reviews, and we'll talk about the ratings and things like that on there. But we have our own opinions. I'm not swayed by the ratings either. We have our own takes, Dean, and I know you aren't either. You're a man of you know, fortitude, courage.
I try.
And all of that. But the thing I wanted to get to first on this show, because we're going to talk about the big show from Yokohama in a little bit, but the thing I really wanted to talk about was the show from the 9th. And the main thing about that show, it was from Corcoran Hall. And me and you were DMing about this show. Great attendance number for Corcoran, one of the best in many years for Noah.
Yeah.
1,310 people showed up for this, and the main event was a junior heavyweight title match, which I'll have a little thing to say about. But the main thing for me, especially as a fan, was the retirement match of Daisuke Harada versus Atsushi Kotoge. And man, anybody who's listened to this show for a long time knows that these are my boys all the way back from Osaka Pro into Noah. I've watched their whole career. Dino, we were talking off the air about it, and you came in a little bit later time with them.
Yeah.
You know, and like we were talking about, Harada and Kotoge, and especially Harada in this case, because he is the one who had a tragic injury that he's been out for all this time and unfortunately has had to retire at just 36 years old. That's the thing. He's been around. He's been wrestling forever, but is still only 36. That's a very young age to retire.
Yeah, I haven't seen as much Harada as I would have liked to. When I was really into Noah, you know, it was kind of before his time, and then I took a break from watching wrestling for a few years. And in 2015, I really got into New Japan, and then I pretty much started watching Noah like every show during the pandemic, so around 2020. So for these last 3 years, like I, you know, Harada has been a pretty regular fixture of the company, but not really to like the level I think he was like maybe in the late 2010s. And I mean, even with me not having a huge connection to him and to Kotoge as, you know, maybe not nearly as deep kind of as you, Dylan, I still, you know, this was, it was, I was crying watching this, just seeing Kotoge come out and tears in his eyes, knowing that, you know, this is the last time he's going to be in the ring with his best bro, and them just, you know, everyone kind of realizing this moment is happening, and the severity of the moment where, you know, I know Harada had said that on the poster for the show in Japanese, there was like a note that was written out, and it was from Harada, and it said like something along the lines of like, don't ignore, you know, going to the doctor, don't push it off and say you're too busy, like don't be like me, as like a warning to other wrestlers, like, you know, take this stuff seriously if you have, you know, if you tweak your neck, if you feel like something's off. And just knowing all that context made me really kind of feel for him, and just seeing the emotion on everyone's faces made this just a really special and kind of just a touching moment that was really sad to see. And, you know, I think Harada, when he was active, was easily one of the best juniors in the country, if not one of the best wrestlers in the country. It's a huge loss for the company. But on the bright side, I'm just happy that he's able to, you know, walk out of the ring on his own terms and focus on healing and just, you know, keep up, whether he wants to be involved in the company. I think there was a discussion about him being a trainer that he passed on. And so I just hope whatever he does next, he's happy doing. And it's just, you know, it's sad, but overall, I'm just happy that he's able to kind of walk away from this on his own 2 feet and not have to, you know, we've seen so many tragic injuries, and it's just, I'm happy that this is kind of how it ended for him, even though it's pretty, you know, sad circumstances overall.
Yeah, that's a great point. I do think we have to see that, because it is, I mean, look, we just saw last month, the big show, Muto's retirement show, a guy going out, having a big long match on a grand stage. And I think everybody wants that and dreams of that if you get into wrestling. And this wasn't that. It was a one-minute exhibition match versus his best friend and longtime partner and rival, Atsushi Kotoge. But it's much better ending it this way than, like you said, something truly tragic happening. Because he walks away in this business with his life, you know, and he can live a pretty normal life from all the looks of it. Maybe him and his brother can hook up and do some things. There's always some funny, yeah. Funny stuff with him and his brother. You see on Twitter every now and then. But he, to me, is like, him and Kotoge both are always going to be linked, I think, just because of the tag team, you know, Momono Station tag.
Yeah.
So when these guys came in, we're coming off of a golden age of Noah Juniors. It's something that really attracted me to the company and made me like it a lot better than New Japan, even when it became popular. He is a guy that is a main cause of that. But I remember even when I first started watching, 2008, 2009, that was a golden age of juniors to me, where you had your Kentas, your Marufujis, your Kotaro Suzukis, Aokis, yeah. Ricky Marvin, all those legendary guys to me. That was like an amazing division up and down. And then, you know, we saw people move up to heavyweight. Some people left the company. And the junior division really went through a shift. And I remember when they brought these guys in, and I was a bit of a fan of Osaka Pro too. And I was a fan of these guys in particular, even then. And I just remember when Noah brought them in, I was just thinking, man, what's up with these guys being a Noah? It's like, I like them, but I don't think they fit the Noah style in my mind at the time, especially Kotoge. But boy, did they quickly prove their value, because right out of the gate, these guys were doing awesome things, having a lot of amazing matches. You know, Kotage and Harada, they were having in 2014, that was really like their peak era, was the, because Harada had the long title reign ended by Kotage, and in 2015, you got to see that, but his reign got cut short because of that whole Suzuki-gun deal. And they were like, we're going to put the title on Taichi now.
Yeah.
I wasn't a big fan of all of that, but their matches were so great together. And truly, if you could see, find any of those, and we were talking about it off the air too, it's like this era pre-Wrestle Universe and pre-pandemic and all that of Noah, it's like finding a needle in a haystack sometimes, fighting some of these matches.
Yeah, it's hard. I do like the match of the week on the Noah Discord, and the only like requirement is that it's a Noah match and it's on YouTube. And there's just like so many years that have like virtually nothing on YouTube. And I imagine like a lot of that is like kind of those peak years of Harada and Kotage. What's your favorite like Momo no Station tag match that you can recall off the top of your head? Because I would want to watch some of them.
Oh, yeah. See, the thing is, in Noah, they were kind of, like, separated for a good chunk of it, too.
Yeah.
And Oprah, which I thought was interesting, because I don't think they ever actually, like, when you look at them, they never actually got as much as they could have out of them, in my opinion, as a team overall. But there's one, there's a couple from the Golden Age, but I'll give you one I remember that should be on, should be easier to find. It was from 2021, so we're in the pandemic, right? I don't know if you saw this or remember it, but they teamed up and they faced Go and Marufuji in a tag match. I'm trying to look this up to remember what it was, but I know it was in 2021.
I must have watched it, but I don't.
Okay, I found it. It's January 16th, 2021, Momono Station Tag versus Go Shiozaki and Namichi Marufuji. From Higher Ground at night two.
Sounds great. Okay, I'm going to watch this later.
Yeah, it was the main event. It was a really great match they had. And Stinger was in the semi-main event, Hayata and Ogawa, which we'll talk about a bit later as well during that. But they had a lot of great matches. I think one that everybody always points to is when they won the titles from Gato and Jado. That was like the ending of the New Japan and Noah relationships, and they kind of, you know, they worked their way to, you know, send out these bad invaders, like the lowest class people of New Japan that they sent over to Noah that they put in. But it was still like a WWE type of match. You know, there's chairs, the New Japan Sports Entertainment type of deal. You know, because that's what Gato and Jado were doing at the time.
Yeah. Noah.
And all the heels, actually. Like, all of Suzuki-gun were actually doing that, all the way up to Suzuki himself, which is why that whole angle sucks so much, I would say. But they did a great job in it. And they're kind of guys, too, that I think are very versatile in terms of their style. Harada, great technical wrestler, great hard hitter. I know everybody remembers a lot of their matches against each other, Kotage and Harada. Remember the match they had where Harada hit the German suplex off the top rope?
Yeah, I've seen – I don't think I've seen that match, but I've seen a clip of that like so many times.
Yeah, all-time great bump on there. But I'll go over to a shout-out to Cage Match again here. I'll look at their top five ranked matches here in the Cage Match Guide.
Oh, nice.
The number one was from Flight, which was Marufuji's anniversary show from 2018. It was him and Sugira versus Atsushi Aoki and Jun Akiyama from All Japan at the time, which was a banger of a match, too. I remember that very well.
Wow.
You've got Daisuke Harada versus Kotaro Suzuki from December 2018.
Yeah, I just watched that last week. That was the match of the week, and that was fantastic.
They have
one of the craziest, like, trading roll-up, like trading pinning combination sequences that I've ever seen in a match by far. They hit like 8 different pinning combinations and the fans just start losing it. Like, it's an amazing spot.
I love that whole run of Suzuki back then because he came back because he had been gone forever in All Japan, or like 7 years or whatever. And then he came back and he was like, man, this division sucks since I left. And he's like, ever since I left, this place went to crap. And he won the title and was like his – I've always said he is a guy way better as a heel than as a babyface. Even his Disobey run at 2009. Him versus Kenta is one of my all-time favorite Noah matches, where he had the fake blood he brought out. I just popped that spot so much when I first saw him. But I love him. I love Harada. Harada was also great in that match. You had Harada versus Taiji Ishimori from 2014. That's when Harada first won the junior title, because Ishimori had a legendary run.
Oh, yeah. With, tons of defenses, right? That might be the record.
Yeah. And Harada ended it, and they had a fantastic match against each other. You had Harada. Oh, this is from last year. Oh, yeah, I remember this match, because I loved the Howe and Tadasuke tag team, remember? I was always like, Amakusa now and Tadasuke, but I always remember saying, like, man, these guys need to team up, because they're the best version of the Congo Juniors. They faced Harada and Ohara. This is when... man, I don't remember what version of the stable it was, because remember you had Full Throttle and Ohara and Cody.
Yeah, I think this was when Ohara first jumped to, like, Noah Jr. Army, and he, like, had the white shorts. I remember this match. This match was really good.
Yeah, they were kind of like an unofficial, like, three-man faction, kind of. And Junta was there, too, with Kotage, Harada,
yes,
and Ohara.
Yes, yes.
So that's one of the matches. That was a great match. I was so impressed by Howe in that match, especially. But Harada was great in it, too. You've got Harada versus Minoru Tanaka from December 2017. I mean, Harada needs to be called Mr. December with some of these matches. but that was a great match, too. One match I do want to shout out, because one of his matches is not in the top five, but it's highly rated, was him versus Kotage from January 2015. Now, this was right when Kotage had won the title for the first time. Like I said, a couple of months beforehand, it was the main event. You had Kotage's mom in the crowd after the promo. I remember all this, baby. Yeah, Kotage got to cut the show-ending promo. He looked like a superstar. But I actually like – this isn't on the match, guys. This is a secret Dylan recommendation. This shows that I'm a true fan here. The match they had the month prior from December 2014, I don't know if you can find it. But if you can, that's when Kotage won the title. He won with the Vertebreaker to win. And it was freaking awesome. Like, that was an amazing match, match of the year level to me. And the January match was really good, too. But I thought the December match was actually even a little better from Ariake. So
I think the two Harada matches that stand out to me, at least over the last, like, 3 years, the match he had versus Yoshinari Ogawa on the show in March 2020 that had the Fujita and Shiozaki stare down. I think it's, like, March 29th, 2020 or something.
Yeah.
That is, like, one of the best technical matches. It's, like, one of the best pandemic-era matches, I think. It's just this amazing technical kind of showcase. It's, like, a very British-style World of Sport match. And I think he also he gave Hayata, I think, the best Hayata match ever. I think it's January 2022 for the junior title. They had a match at, like, a house show, like a Radiant Hall. And it's really, really great. Like, a really smart limb work match with an awesome finish. Those were probably the two of his highlight matches, I think, over the last 3 years. Because he's been out for a while, too. But, yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, shout out Harada. And I'm just, you know, it's really sad because I was so excited to see him come back. I was, like, so amped for him to get back in the mix. And they, like, had a tease, I think, where they kind of, like, were pointing at him on one of the last shows because he was on commentary. And I was like, all right, like, he's coming back. And then to hear this news was pretty devastating. But, you know, I hope he just finds what he wants to do and is healthy and happy. And, you know, I'm going to miss him. But, you know.
Yeah, I was so sad. I mean, he was one of my favorite guys in all of Japan. And if you watch the one-minute match they had, the retirement match, I mean, Kotage and Harada, it's like these guys are in tears. They're hugging. But even for that 1 minute, there was actually some pretty good wrestling for that one-minute show, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
He kind of gave you a glimpse that, like, hey, I've still got this. Just to, you know, if ever aliens invade and they point a laser at us and they say the only way we will not destroy the Earth is if Daisuke Harada wrestles a match for us, he can still do that.
Yeah. And who knows, like, with – I don't want to get, like, false hopes, but, you know, people have come back from injuries. Maybe there's a treatment that he hasn't looked into, or maybe there's
– one that could be invented.
Yeah, one that could be invented, or who knows. Like, I just, you know, I'm hoping for the best for him and just, you know, sad to see him go, but happy that he got to have his last, you know, moment with Kotage.
Yeah, me too. But yeah, I hope he's happy one day. I always kind of, cause I have wrestler brain, to be honest with you. So I always think about, oh, so-and-so. I was the same way with Shibata. Like, even with his big injury, I always said every year I'd predict Shibata will return this year. and then it actually happened, on there. Same thing with Bryan Danielson. I was like, I know he'll come back eventually. This one, maybe it is, like you said, maybe not wanting to give myself false hopes, but I love those guys too, but. I don't know. You know, whatever happens with him, I'm rooting for him. Seemed like a great guy to have in the locker room. And a tremendous, tremendous wrestler. And a non-traditional junior, not a high-flying guy, but like I said, very versatile. And him and Kotage both have that. Hopefully, Kotage can live on. Although he did say when he has his retirement, he demands Harada come back for a 1 minute.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. With him as well, so that could we may see him again one way or the other on that end, but yeah, the show did really well. I don't want to put any fingers on anyone, but yeah, one of the best Corcoran Hall shows for Noah in terms of numbers, by far, even better than that show they had all the title matches on.
Yeah,
and I think this proves that Makusa is one of the top draws in Japan and should be the world champion, in my opinion. I think. This is the conclusion that I personally reached.
I'm on board with that, yeah.
Yeah, but I think the Harada thing did have something to do with it. Also, coming off of the Dome show, I think a lot of people were at least very intrigued to see what was going on with Noah, at least here. I watched the main event. I watched the whole show, actually, but we don't need to talk about the rest of the show. The main event is what really mattered. What did you think of that match with Hiroki and Amakusa? I know Hiroki's one of your guys.
Yeah, I think he's so underrated. Like, I've also noticed over the last few shows, too, just to go on, like, a little Hiroki tangent, I think he's whoever's booking. You know, is it Nosawa? Is it Kendo Kashin? Whoever has the book must think that Hiroki is, like, the best base in the company, because it seems like every time they're, like, they need someone to, like, show off, like, a new luchador, like Lancelot, they'll, like, get him in the ring with Hiroki at some point. Like, on that last tag, Lancelot looked pretty good when he had Hiroki as a base for him. And I think he's so good in these matches of, like, grounding sort of a more high-flying junior, which is why, like, I think his matches versus Yuki Sato have always been so good. They have such, like, a good chemistry in that regard. And I think, like, this was probably... They had a match on, like, a Congo Produce show, I think, at some point. I want to say 2019 Congo Produce. That was better because they just were doing the craziest, most dangerous spots. And they didn't do as much of that in this match. So I was not, like, let down. I still think it was a fantastic match. But they didn't really hit anything that, like, dangerous. And that I kind of, like, had that in my head that they were going to do that. But overall, really fun match. I think Amakusa's, like... Is he the best junior in Japan? I think that there's, like, a pretty serious argument for that. He's been on a fantastic run. His style is so unique. And I think this was another great example of, you know, why he is in that conversation right now.
To me, pound for pound, he's got to be considered one of the best right now. I just think that he is a guy, his workload, I mean, he's all hits. He's batting 1,000. Have you been watching WBC? Are you a fan of baseball, Eddie?
No, not really. But oh. I get the reference. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, he's batting 1,000.
Yeah,
his batting average is very high there. Japan, I think as we speak, even trying to get to the finals, facing Mexico in the World Baseball Classic. Going there. I've been huge into WBC lately with all the countries. You know, like the crowds in Japan, they just blow away the – and Taiwan, too. They all blow away the American crowds of baseball there. So they're going crazy. Amakusa is probably a fan, too. I don't want to speak for him. Maybe he's not. Maybe he's rooting for a different country. Everybody's allowed to do that. I mean, I'm sure you've seen World Cup before, at least.
Yeah, yeah.
And like most Americans, you don't care about soccer that much.
It's fine. It's entertaining, but I'm not really invested in it.
Yeah, know. Exactly. You know, some people, when I was a kid, I used to root for Argentina in the World Cup because I was like, U.S., okay. We suck at soccer. But yeah. Argentina, they've got cool jerseys like, and cool flag colors. I love them. Overall, but you know, so I don't want to speak for him, but they're doing big things, and Amakusa is just great. I think as a junior heavyweight this year, if you're going to say a junior MVP, it's got to be him. I mean, across every match he's had. And I think just in general, counting heavyweights, I think he's been one of the better purely in-ring workers. I mean, whatever your like kind of like you said with the football, the emotional investment may not be that high with the juniors right now in Noah, but you've got to give this guy his roses because every single time he goes out, he's putting on an excellent performance. And Striga even loved at the match at the Dome, he loved that match versus Hiromu. And I liked it. I just wish that it went longer, but he loved it anyway. And I wish that they had gotten longer. And I hope one day he gets a bigger spotlight in general. But like I said, he proved to be a draw here, at least not an anti-draw, at least. You know, and when you think about that, that's impressive because they technically, by two people, technically outdrew the Yokohama show at Korakuen, which, I mean, you know, we can read into the Yokohama number how we want to, but that's a, like, that really was a great success for Noah, that show. So congratulations to them. They got things on the right foot and they built to the show we're going to talk about now at Yokohama Budokan. Great voyage in Yokohama 2023. 1,308 people at the show. What was your take on this? Because if people don't know, this guy here, he is like a stat-counting dude when it comes to attendance. Your attendance rater, you know, your tracker, is so good. Like, it's such a useful piece of
information. Thank you.
I love it.
Yeah, I haven't built out 2023 yet, but it doesn't take that long, actually. I wish there I was like smart enough to like write some code to like just pull it from Cage Match, or maybe I could get with Striga and Striga can give me some data from Cage Match.
He knows the guy.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so this number is really good because it was capped at 50%, which I think some people got confused on because most shows are not capped at 50% now, but they started selling tickets to this show before that restriction was lifted. So they basically almost a like complete sellout would have been 1,500. Big Japan claimed to do 1,800 here, but, you know, Big Japan is, totally reputable and, you know, very, straightforward company. So I would not in any way insinuate that Big Japan was inflating their numbers. And they also were like selling tickets really cheap. So who knows? They have like the record, I think, at least over the last, like year or two for this venue.
Big Japan catching some strays.
Like, I love Big Japan. When you put a round number as your attendance, it's just it's an obvious tell that something is Great Kojiko was just guessing at some point and said, yeah, there's like 200 people in that section. Let's put 1,800. But for a 50% capacity, I think it's pretty good. Stardom and New Japan have done slightly better at this venue in the last few years, but that's because they're Stardom and New Japan. This show did so much better than Noah's last show. He at the same venue last year, which was the N1 show that had Kazuki Fujita and Goshi Ozaki in the main event. I think it did like 940 or something. So it's a good number, but I'm not like really reading too much into it because I think it's still kind of too early to tell like how much of an impact the Keiji Muto experience had on Noah. I think the early signs are that it seems pretty positive, but I think it's way too early to tell. We've only had a few shows and their next tour is like very unusual. They're going up to like the way northern part of Japan, to like Akita. And then the next big show is in Sendai. So I don't know like how these numbers could be like really low. They could be really high because they don't go there a lot. Like there's a lot of kind of unknown factors there, but, I thought it was a good number and the crowd seemed pretty invested. This was the first Noah show since the pandemic where masks were optional, which I think is a pretty big milestone. We're like almost back to 100% normal. But yeah, good number. I'm cautiously optimistic is what I would say.
Yeah, I think the Korakuen number jumped out at you more, or me at least, more with that. But like you said, it's important to note it was a halfway crowd here in Yokohama. So, you know, like you said, Stardom and New Japan were better. Everyone else, Noah, would probably be better. But we will give Big Japan the benefit of the doubt. That's up to you. We can't make you choose how you think of things. But, yeah, pretty good number. I think that's the most reasonable way to categorize it. And I was happy to see it because you know, considering the main event, that was the thing me and Striga talked about a lot.
Yeah.
Episode was the main event. We had a heavy discussion on that. And Jake Lee, you know, a lot of people said were kind of down on him after All Japan. And we'll talk more about him in the main event, I would say. But I was happy to see the number. I thought it was good enough for what it was, to say the least.
Yeah.
But first match, Yasutaka Yano versus Taishi Ozawa. I mean, it's a young guy match, but I will say this. I really like how Ozawa's coming along. I think this guy's really got a lot of star potential in him. Very early on, I'm not going to lie about that. But he's got a great mix of not just size, because I think that's something they desperately needed in their young tiger system, as I call them. But he also has great agility, too, like great athletic ability. And as a wrestler, I can see this guy really becoming something as an all-around player at NOAH.
Yeah, I mean, that's my hope. He got a new picture because he got a new haircut, like on the website and everything. And he looks like he has that star potential. Like I see on photo alone and how he looks in the ring at this stage in his career, there's definitely potential for like a serious, you know, main event level talent in there. It's funny though, because it's like, we'll know in like 5 years. I was thinking this the other night. It's going to be like 2028 and we'll get our first Ozawa like main event with the pace that NOAH pushes their guys along. So it'll be a long time from now and we'll know if this conversation is accurate or not. But I think he looks good. He's got the new haircut. He's put on some muscle. He's still really athletic, like you said. And so I'm excited to see. I do wish that they would like speed it up a little bit. Let's maybe cut this down to like 3 years before he like gets his break. But yeah, you know, there's potential there, and I'm excited to see how he develops.
Yeah, and I think you know, if it were 5 years, I actually don't think that would be that bad, because you look at New Japan, their guys take forever to get that kind of main event run. You have excursions, you've got stuff. We were talking off the air about Okan.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, still yet to receive a title shot. And Inamura never got a title shot. So maybe 10 years before we get to him going in there. But I do like him. I really like this guy as a wrestler and as a prospect. And I'll enjoy watching him wherever he ends up on the card. Yano, obviously, a much more complete package. He's been around for a long time. Very much will look forward to his junior run. But, I mean, with Junta, that whole deal with him going to Mexico, what did you think of that? Miyawaki going back to Mexico after his title match versus Amakusa, which was a really good match. I thought that was kind of underrated, in my opinion. I thought it was like a really great match. But what did you think about the decision to send him back to Mexico?
Yeah, I love that match too. And I was a little perplexed by it. I don't really know. Like, I haven't heard any reason. I don't know if it's like, I mean, I think there's times in wrestling where, like, there could be personal things that, like, we don't know about. And so, like, the interpretation might lean too much on, like, talent or booking. But, like, who knows? Maybe he was just like, hey, I had fun. I want to go back for a few months. Like, it could be something, like, stupid like that. Or they could have been like, hey, you know, we need you to cook a little bit more. We got some other stuff lined up. We got Lancelot ready to go, so we don't need you right now.
Oh, yeah. That's big moves that we have. We don't have room for you, buddy. We got Lancelot coming
so
in.
That's
here.
What I mean. Like, it's a little strange, but wrestling is strange. So I don't know. I think, like, when he comes back again, it'll be weird because he won't have, like, his return moment because it already happened. But maybe they have another idea for him. Maybe he comes back as a heel. Maybe he comes back in Congo now that they lost one of their juniors. Like, who knows? But, I don't know. It's an interesting situation. And I kind of forgot about him, but he was, like, so good when he was back.
That's not a good sign.
Yeah. I thought he looked great. So I'm, like, a little confused. But my hope is it's actually something just, like, personal. Like, maybe he got a girlfriend in Mexico, and he's like, I got to go see her. And
I was literally thinking
figure out something else.
I was literally thinking that exact same thing, to be honest. So I'm glad we're on the same page on that. Maybe he's just a big WBC fan. He says he is the one who roots for Mexico.
It could be.
Like Amakusa. And it proved that. But, yeah, you know, nobody knows for sure on that end. But from a show purpose, just what we've seen on the wrestling shows, it makes no sense.
It's very weird.
Yeah, so hopefully he gets back, because I see a lot in him, and I thought he had a really good performance. And I hope to see big things from him in the future. But, you know, we mentioned the juniors here, and we're going to talk about that. We just mentioned Kongo losing one of his juniors, and we had Alejandro, Atsushi Kotage, Seiki Yoshioka, and Yohei. They took on the Kongo team of Hajime Ohara, Hiroki, Shuji Kondo, and Tadasuke. And the match, it was a nothing match. It was like literally like, let's get this over with type of match. It was like, yeah, 5 minutes here. I'm happy that they did that, though, because by going 5 minutes, they opened the door for cage match ratings. And it was only 4.33, so not loved. But if it was 4:59, it wouldn't have had any ratings.
That's fair, yeah.
But the main thing was the angle after the match, which was silly, to be honest. But long story short, Yohei and Tadasuke are a tag team now. And they're, you know, what did you make of this move to unite Yohei and Tadasuke? Ratels, maybe in honor of their former leader?
Maybe, yeah.
They had to unite, and they know Hayata sucks, so they don't want to team with him. And so they're like, we can do it with
him. I felt like they were due for something like this, because like, Noah does enjoy the junior unit shuffle. I think it's an interesting team. Like my hope for you and I have talked about this multiple times. My only hope for Noah's tag divisions is that they just have consistent teams and like build up actual tag teams and not two singles wrestlers together. And so maybe now we have these two, you know, junior good looking guys. They can get some new black and white gear. They can, you know, they're a team. Like, it's set. It's those two. Who knows how long it'll last, but I think just the consistency of having them in a unit and they're the team for the unit is cool. So I'm on board with that. And I think it's, you know, Tadasuke has been in Kongo for a while, so I think it's good that he's getting a fresh coat of paint. And I'm curious to see how they look just as a duo.
Yeah, but, you know, like you said, these two really weren't doing anything anyway. You know, like the other teams, you know, Ohara and Kondo are a team in Kongo, and Yoshioka and Kotage are kind of team of the regular army. So they're kind of on the outside. They formed this, they reunited with this team. And good looking guys did. I think it's a good thing to have them have juniors in the crew too. Yes. I know this must have infuriated WH Park to see Tadasuke in this good guys group.
Yeah, that's a good point. He's probably very mad about that.
What will it take for Tadasuke to win you over, WH, if you're listening? What look-wise? Will it take a change in the hair? You want him to get the haircut, diet, get some black gear, like you said? What's it going to take for Tadasuke to fit into this good-looking guys group? That's the real interesting point for me. But, yeah, as a team, I mean, they really weren't doing anything, so why not? Why not shake it up a little bit overall? But we bridge to the next match, which was Kenya Okada versus Katsuhiko Nakajima. Okada looking for revenge on Nakajima for the injury he suffered last year with the accidental kick. He didn't get any revenge. This match, he was like, nope. It was a squash match, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, it was a fun squash, though. I like that they actually, like, acknowledged the history. Because, like, I was afraid it was just going to be like, oh, it's kind of embarrassing that Okada got his face broken. Let's just, like, work a match and we'll not, like, acknowledge the fact that this happened. But they did the callback spot. Okada was, like, pissed in the beginning. And so I like the fact that they did that and they at least, like, planted a seed for this rivalry in the future. You know, one day Okada will probably get a win and it will be a great moment. It might not be for like 2 or 3 years, but it'll happen eventually, I bet. And I can't wait to see that. But I think it was, you know, for what it was fine to run that match, run the squash, and just like at least have, you know, that acknowledgement of this like pretty, you know, brutal moment that happened last time they were in the ring.
And it gave this undercard match just a little bit more at the end of the day. You know, this wasn't a great match or anything, but like you said, it was a good squash, at least. It's basically like saying, hey, you have a loss to that you dodged out of when they stopped the match. You need to lose this guy, Okada. You don't think you're getting special treatments just because you're coming back from injury.
Yeah.
Just say, nope. And, I guess, I mean, it was a fine way to set up what Nakajima's doing next to have him look dominant, pretty much here. So it worked in all senses. I really like Okada, and he's another guy that I hope has good things in the future, but I can't say I share your confidence, to be honest, in this case. But I hope that you're right. And I hope that you're right about Inamura, too, as he loses another match in the next match. Although he didn't take the fall. It was Yone. Hideki Suzuki and Saxon Huxley as a team. I think everybody who's has a heartbeat and a brain in their head knows that I love Hideki. If you're a new listener, I would let you know right now, Hideki Suzuki is my guy. I love him very much. I love Inamura very much. Yone, Battle Arts represent. I had no idea who this guy was, this Huxley, but I will say this. I think this guy's got a little something to him overall. I'm not going to sit here and say this is some great match, but I think look-wise, he's kind of got that Bruiser Brody thing to him that foreigners seem to love doing in Japan. But I think he's got a little bit of that beast side of him. He hasn't gone full beast, but I think he's got it in him to bring out one day.
Yeah, I think he does too. There's definitely his look is very unique. He's very big. His whole kind of vibe and demeanor is cool. He's like stomping around and shouting, and he's like going crazy. And commentary was pointing out that like even Hideki like looked kind of afraid of him. Like he has that real wild man energy going, which I think is unique in Noah. Like there's a lot of straight laced guys that are like, you know, serious, and he's kind of just this like wild and uncontrollable sort of dude who's out there with his beard and everything. So I'm curious. Like he's working this next tour. He has a couple singles matches too. I think those will be really interesting. I think he's wrestling Manabu Soya at some point. He has a couple matches lined up that should be, I'm definitely going to make sure I pay attention to those, because there's definitely like a glimmer of something cool there. And, you know, Noah's been, their strategy with foreigners seems to be like, who is Hideki friends with? And, who did he like enjoy hanging out with when he was in WWE, and who does Mara Fuji like see on Twitter and like? So that's like usually their two pools of people to pull from. And I think, Huxley must have been, a Hideki friend from the Performance Center. So who knows? I mean, I don't think they like really vibe as a tag team.
No, I don't understand why.
Yeah.
Other than like, it must have been an NXT connection is the only reason to pair them up. Cause yeah, there's a team, this doesn't work.
Yeah. They like don't have any similar energy to them, but we'll see. I mean, I like seeing new guys in Noah. Like I just, you know, cause you never know who's gonna like Jack Morris has worked out, I think pretty well. He's like a nice fixture in the mid card now. And
yeah,
you know, same thing with Ninja Mac. Like you don't know who's going to show up and be like cool. And all of a sudden in 6 months, they're like an interesting part of the roster. So we'll see, but he seems unique, which I think is, most interesting to me.
There's room for that big wild man guy, especially the Japanese company. I do think that he's definitely got some room to improve in the ring. I'm not going to sit here and say he's great.
Yeah, but, definitely.
But I do think there's something there. But what was great was the next match.
Oh, yeah.
Shuhei Taniguchi versus Takashi Sugiura. I love this match. I thought it was so awesome. And I don't know. Maybe I'm overrating it. But
I'm with you, too.
So this match was like, if you've ever seen a match where Sugiura, I think Sugiura has one talent And it's something that I don't see with any other person in Japanese wrestling, Dean. He has something that nobody else has. His main ability in the ring, his main skill, the thing that he brings to every single By God match is this. Being Sugiura. He is him. I always love Sugiura. Everybody knows he's awesome, I think, at this point, even now. But every time he comes in, he is a guy, we love the team with him and Kojima, and now he's on his own. Taniguchi's a guy I've always said was so underrated. It's like he's forever judged by the goofy gimmick that he had.
Yeah.
But every time he wrestles as himself, every single time, this is going back 5, 6, 7 years, me and you were talking about some of the Noah the Reborn era stuff. Taniguchi is awesome in the ring, and like he is a really good wrestler and somebody that I always enjoy watching. I thought these guys melded so well with the technical wrestling, with the badass stuff that Sugiura was doing, going in there, beating the hell out of Taniguchi. And then Taniguchi came in and really actually pulled out a shocking win and in the most awesome way possible, like just kicking him in the head. And I just thought it was freaking great.
Yeah.
I love this match.
No, I'm totally with you. It sounds crazy, but I think like Taniguchi has been one of the best parts of Noah this year. His like starting late last year, he had a singles match versus Hideki. I think we talked about this match in one of the shows that we were on.
Yeah.
And that singles match versus Hideki was ridiculous. And then they just had another tag where I think it was him and Mochizuki versus Hideki and someone else. I don't remember who, maybe Sugiura. I think it was Sugiura. And that the Hideki Taniguchi feud was like, it looked like they wanted to murder each other. And then this match, like he's been on this kind of ridiculously like violent streak since like late 2022. And like no one would believe you if they didn't watch a lot of Noah shows. They'd be like, who are you talking about? Like, but it's been really enjoyable. Like this match was, there were two suplexes in this match that were just like some of the most brutal suplexes I've seen in months. Like I thought Sugiura actually got hurt on that one at the end where he just like landed directly on the top back of his skull. And then the like soccer kicks aren't as good as Fujita's or Nakajima's.
No.
Cause they will just like actually kick you in the face. His are a bit more worked and like, that's fine. I'll cut him some slack there. But I agree with you. I thought this was a fantastic mid-card match. Just so brutal and violent. And they're teaming up. They're going to be challenging for the tag titles. So I'm curious to see how this team works. But they have their styles are kind of similar. You know, Taniguchi has like serious amateur wrestling credentials, if I remember correctly. And so I think this could be a cool team for the next few months.
Yep. I think that Taniguchi, that I love it. The thing is, he's always in dumb gimmicks, though, so you're always waiting for the shoe to fall where your next King Tani is coming out, or Maybach is coming back, you know. This was my match of the night. I know that you're going to think I'm nuts for it, but I loved it.
No, I'm on board with that. Yeah, I think it might be my number two because I like the tag title match a lot. But was fantastic. This was definitely, go out of your way to watch this if you haven't, and you will understand what Dylan and I are talking about.
Oh, absolutely. I think this team, I think it's a great move to put him in a team too, with Sugiura specifically, because literally anybody, if they put you in a team with Sugiura, I think you could probably be one of
those teams. I think I could make it work.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Sugiura is just a total legend in my book when it comes to the in-ring game, and still is to this day. And he's been on a real hot streak lately, too, with the Kojima team and now this. And I think that this team has – and I can't wait for that tag title match. I think it's going to be awesome. But more on that in a little bit, I would say. Next match was Anthony Green and Jack Morris versus Ilda Dr. Wagner Jr. and Namichi Marufuji. And this match, I mean, it was a good match, but the main thing about it was to set up Jack pinning Wagner so he'd get the national title shot.
Yeah, I enjoyed this a lot. Like, I think that this was like a fun mid-card match. Like, Green is pretty solid. Morris is solid. Wagner, I think, is like slowly growing into like a star. Like, his look is fantastic. He carries himself like like a real main event star, and I hope that he becomes that over the next year or so. I like his kind of like sneaky Rudo tactics too. Like he does the eye pokes and he does the like pulling the rope away when someone's trying to get a rope break. Like he has some like little nuances to his style that are a little bit more on the Rudo side. I think him and Morris could be a good match. His match for Soya this year was fantastic. Like I think he's like really become a good singles worker. Wagner. And so Morris is, you know, if you work a match where Wagner's kind of like the arrogant heel and he's playing a little dirty and Morris is the, you know, white meat baby face trying to make a fiery comeback, like I think that will work out pretty well. But yeah, you know, it's not a crazy match, but definitely a cool little highlight for like these mid-card guys.
I totally agree with you on Wagner. Ever since he's gotten that title, he's gone above and beyond the call of duty of carrying it and really stepped his game up. I thought in the N1 last year, he wasn't bad by any means, but the problem was that he was overshadowed by like seven different guys in his block pretty much.
Yeah.
Your Hideki, your Kenno, Go, Sugera, and Kaito in the other block, Nakajima in the other block, all these other guys. In there, you know, probably even more than seven if you count both blocks, but he wasn't bad. But I thought, okay, like he's a fine, perfectly solid undercard type of dude. And then he won the title, and I thought, whoa, this is a step probably too far for him, but I'll see what he's got with it, see what he can do. And he's really been a great champion. I think he brings a unique style. Like you said, the Rudo tactics are there, really a separation of what the national title was for a long time with Funaki and the shooters and everything like that. I think he's making it his own, and I think he's really proven to be a good signing and a guy that's grown a lot in Noah, especially compared to where he was in Mexico.
Yeah, he's improved so much, I think, even since that N1, and I think just giving him more singles opportunities has allowed that growth to happen. One thing I noticed or thought of that was like kind of weird. So the GHC national title was, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm looking at Wikipedia right now. It was originally set to be scheduled to be defended exclusively in Japan. Like that's why it's the national title and it's red and has the little Japanese flag in the middle. But it's like now with two foreigners, like I wonder if they're going to go back on that and realize like they need this to be an international title. But I thought that was interesting because I kind of forgot that was like the gimmick for it, that it's supposed to be exclusively only defended in Japan.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about all of that. It's hard to tell sometimes, but I think that the national title has gone through periods where it's a really great title. You know, it's something that's really been a great addition to the roster and really formed its own, had its own purpose, which is always my big problem with like New Japan's, but really most anybody's secondary titles. It's like, okay, this is a worse version of the world title. Why would anyone want that instead of the world title? You know, pretty much.
Yeah.
Now this, the national title has always felt like it had its own special purpose. And I still think it's finding its way on that end, like you were kind of mentioning and alluding to that a little bit, but from where it was, especially before when it was the shoot style type of title, I think, but I really am confident in him to get it there. And I like that he's a different style of guy. And I love what he brings to the table overall. And you know, Jack too, he's another guy. I'm really happy that he's had so much success. He was really great at endearing himself to people when he first got to Noah, and I think that's such a smart move on his part. And he's gotten better and better as time has gone along. And really, him and Green both are like now, you know, kind of indebted into the mid-card pretty much here in a good way. I don't mean that as a slight. Because at first he was a guy, everyone was like, who's this guy? Pretty much.
Yeah.
And he's proven himself to be worthy of this spot and the opportunities he's getting. And I think him and Wagner, it's an interesting deal, you know, foreigner versus foreigner to have that for the national title on there, which is a little weird when you think about it. But I think it could be a good match though. And I think that's what matters most overall. So I'm looking forward to it too. And I'm really excited to see what Wagner can do with the title and where he goes beyond that, because I think he really is elevating. He has elevated his game so much that I'm a fan of his now.
Do you think Morris is going to win?
It's possible. I just think that, and I think, well, considering the result of the main event, it wouldn't surprise me if they wanted to put more belts in that group overall, and this is a quick way to get there. If you wanted, you would presume that you just added some more junior guys. You could form some kind of tag team. You know, the junior titles are always up in the air. That yeah. Some extra drama if you want. It's a very traditional pro wrestling trope to have a group with a lot of titles. So I wouldn't put it past them. I think it's possible, but I personally think it would be better if Wagner won.
Yeah, I really want Wagner to keep this belt, but my only fear is that Morris just lost to Kaito, like, in February, I guess, early February.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Like, having him lose another singles title match seems a little excessive, but it's Noah, so you never know. I don't know. I hope Wagner keeps it, though, because his reign has been really fun. And I think, like, there's so many other cool matches for him. Yeah. Like, you could cycle any sort of wrestler into that slot, into that division, and, like, Wagner's going to have a cool match with them, I think.
I totally agree. That was the exact point I was going to make. You have a ton of guys on the roster that he can wrestle and have great matches with. But we'll see what happens going forward. I will say, my negative on this match was clearly Marufuji. To me, I mean, talk about a guy who's checked out mentally. In this match, it really stood out to me, I would say. And I mean, in all of his matches, it kind of stands out to me. But in this one, for some reason, I did notice it. Like, he was, like, goofing around with Green at one point in here. And it's like, either give him something to do, or it might be time to really downturn him, I think, at this point. Because I just think, no motivation. It was kind of my sense of him in this match.
Yeah, I know he has, like, injury situations going on, and I wonder if he's, like, looking at his career and thinking, like, maybe it's time. I don't know how much longer he's going to be around on the roster, honestly. And he has, like, what is he? He's, like, a VP at CyberFight, so he has, like, a very important office job, so he might just, like, gradually check out. I would like to see him get in the mix a little bit, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just, like, a sucker for nostalgia, but, like, I would want to see him, like, give me a match, like, him versus, like, Yoshinari Ogawa or something. Like, let them do some Noah callback stuff, because I think, like, that might juice him up a little bit, but I think you're onto something. He seems like he's just kind of going through the motions.
I think you've got room for him, especially with the champion being who it is now. Like, if you wanted, you could get something out of a 1 month, you know, like you said, a nostalgia run, kind of, him versus somebody for the title. But, yeah, I really think he's a guy that he's not impressing me much. And it's a shame, because he was one of my favorites at one point. And we'll see what happens. Like you said, he's got a very important job anyway, so give him something to do. We'll see if that happens. But we know what will happen. They have other plans for the junior title. In the form of Lancelot, who got a humongous win with him and Extreme Tiger teaming. Where's that guy been? On here. They just, Extreme Tiger randomly shows up. But Lancelot came in. They took on Amakusa and Ninja Mac. So I'm going to ask you this, Dean, and it's a very important question. How much of Lancelot have you seen before he came into Noah?
Before he came into Noah... Zero.
Yes.
I don't think many people have seen much Lancelot before Noah. Have you seen a lot?
I have, in fact, because he was in AAA, and he was a fixture years ago in AAA. He was a guy that was on every show. We covered him a lot.
Wait, but was he Eclipse Jr.?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's why I was looking on YouTube for Lancelot, and I couldn't find a lot.
But I know him more as Lancelot with the Z.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was searching for, too. But I looked on Cage Match, and it seemed like he was mostly wrestling as Eclipse Jr.
Well, maybe at the very end, because they did this weird thing where they gave everybody, a bunch of people new gimmicks for some reason.
Oh, okay. Well, wait, how old is he?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, he's 27. I'm on Cage Match. Okay, that's older than I thought. I thought he was, like, 20.
No, because I remember him for a while, in AAA. He was there for years. Now, this is a former Cruiserweight champion we're talking about in AAA. And he had it, you know, he's a guy that he was around the era of your, like, you know, your Psycho Cloud, your Arhenis was one of our mascots for Lucha Talk for a long time. OGTs, Ojetes was a group. So it's like a weird era. Like Vampiro, I think, was in charge when this was all going down. But he hasn't been seen for a long time. It's like he came literally out of the blue for this Noah run. I don't think he's even wrestled for a while. I mean, it says he wrestled last year twice for AAA. And before that, you know, he's like a once a year type of guy for AAA for the last 4 or 5 years. So this was a huge blast for the past. I was like, this is him? Like, this is who we're bringing in? Because his brother is a way better wrestler than him, actually. Dinastia, who's like, works as a mini in AAA, but he's a great wrestler, and Lancelot's not a great wrestler, so I'm sure you saw it, but, his cousins were wrestling in, Noah in the past too, so that's probably how he got in. Do you remember Pesadilla and Rocky Lobo?
Yeah, I'm looking Pesadilla right now, I see, yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. I knew he was Super Crazy's nephew. I did not know he, like, wrestled this much, though. I thought he was, like, younger.
Well, you thought he probably never wrestled based on how he wrestled in some of these matches. I would say he looks like maybe an untrained type of person. I feel kind of bad for him because he came in on that Harada retirement show. And, like, the first thing he did was screw up his moves.
Yeah, so, he was nervous. Like, I think it was really clear. He was very nervous. I thought that his second match was better. On the 14th. And then I think like this match, he looked okay. Like I think he has like decent like body control for the moves he can actually hit if he doesn't like botch them. Like he has some cool tricks up his sleeve. I think my like initial appeal was just, I'm like a huge nerd for like sword and sorcery stuff. And I was literally reading like the King Arthur, like the Death of King Arthur book before they announced this. And like Lancelot is like the main character. And I was like, wait a second, there's a masked luchador named Lancelot. So I was like into him just for that premise. But, and I just like have a soft spot for masked luchadors. Like I want as many of them as possible in Noah. I think it's so cool that they have this like sort of rotation of guys that they do use. I think there is a long list of names that I'd probably rather see in that spot, but I think this is probably just a, you know, transitional defense, just to give, to pad Amox's reign a bit. I don't think that there's any chance Lancelot wins this. And, who knows? I think if anyone can get an interesting match out of him, considering Amoxa has all this, you know, he was in Mexico, he's really like honed in on this lucha style, I think the match could surprise people. But I don't know. I mean, if you know more of his background, like I watched like one match on YouTube versus Australian Suicide, and that was like better than what I've seen from him so far. Cause he seemed like more comfortable, like being in his home promotion kind of.
Yeah. But Dean, you got to understand, this is a guy who's wrestled like a dozen matches the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. He's rusty. Yeah.
Yeah. On top of it, like back then he was wrestling all the time. Like you're bringing a guy basically out of the woodwork here. And which can only be a family connection with Super Crazy.
Yeah, it's a nepotism hire.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm all for giving a guy a chance. I mean, I thought that Dralistico looked pretty good when he came here. You know, I was actually totally. I thought he was way better than what Lancelot's bringing to the table right now, personally.
And well, you have Dragon Bane and Alpha Wolf, too. Like, they, I think, are definitely ahead of him on the, you know, pecking order, or at least when it comes to like luchadors I want to see in the ring.
Yeah, the ones that they brought in, Lancelot's definitely at the bottom right now, but he gets a golden chance against Amakusa to do something great with and prove himself, and maybe he'll get less nervous, maybe a little bit warmed up. You know, hopefully he's putting in some practice here because it's been rough. I mean, this has like a low rating on Cage Match. I honestly didn't think it was that bad. I thought this was a better match than the one he had, like you said, at the ninth show with the retirement deal. I'm with you. It wasn't that bad. I mean, but he's pretty clunky, you know, at this point. And I hope that he can improve. And Amakusa, like you said, if you can't have a good match with him, it's time to pack it up. You know,
if you can't pull that out, then there's no, I mean, I think it was like the worst part is like, he does seem to like not have a great grasp of like the pacing of things, and like he's kind of just like standing around a little bit awkwardly, and like it just seems like he's moving from spot to spot. I think you need someone that could like thread that together, and like I think Amox is really good at that. So we'll see. I'm like just excited to see it because it's an Amoxa singles match, and like I want to give this new luchador a chance, but you know, we'll see. Yeah, it could be bad.
Yeah, and he's like even in AAA, he was like as lower mid card as you get even at his peak. I mean, he did get a title win, but it was like a really random deal, pretty much. And I think that he's a guy that it's a great opportunity for him. I'm happy for him to get back in the ring. I don't want to see anybody, you know, droven out of the business or anything. And it's not like he was this terrible worker. He was actually all right. It's just he wasn't special overall. So he's kind of like a really random person to bring in. But it's fine. We'll see. We'll have more extended comments on Lancelot when he faces Amakusa. And we see what he does there. But then we had the GHC heavyweight tag team titles, Kongo Team, Kenno and Manabu Soya taking on Daiki Inaba and Masaki Tamiya. This was by far the match of the night on cage match rating, 7.80. And I agree with the inmates on this one. I thought this was a hell of a match between these two teams. I thought that Kenno and Soya were going to win, to be honest with you. I was pretty psyched that Inaba and Kitamiya won because they're like two guys who are, I always say, you know, it's like you're always in these second matches and you see that they could do more. And now they're actually doing something with them. So I'm pretty into this. I thought the Kitamiya and Soya interactions were really great. And they're like such great matchups. I kind of put them and Taniguchi in the same kind of group of mid-card, like gatekeeper big guys who are like really cool. And now we see them, and they're really cool. Like, they're proving they're really cool with each other. And Kenno, obviously, is doing great. Inaba is a great, like, babyface underdog type of player. I saw a great comment where they compared Inaba. Oh, wait, that was you talking about Yoshihashi. That was you. And I totally agree with what you said. Inaba and Yoshihashi are a great comparison point. I think Yoshihashi is probably a little bit more better all around, but yeah. Inaba's like he's got that same. He's in that same lane, and it's a good lane to be in, and how they're using him is perfect. I love this team. I was super happy that they won, and I thought it was a great match.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that the Noah basically just made them their like version of Bishamon. Like, because Kitamiya and Goto, I think like Goto's had a lot more chances and his career is a lot longer, yeah. But they have a similar vibe of like this like tough guy, grizzled veteran. That never like really, they never won the world title. They're like kind of just this like upper mid card gatekeeper. And Inaba and Yoshihashi, I think, have like a lot of similarities in like their whole like look, their style in the ring. They're like these underdogs. And I think a lot of people that don't really watch, like there's still people that are like, oh, Yoshihashi, he sucks. Like even though he's been, yeah, he's been so good for like at least, I don't know, 3 to 4 years now. He's like, I think he's probably in my top 10 wrestlers in New Japan. Like, I think Yoshihashi is fantastic. And I think Inaba is really good too. And it has a similar vibe where like you were saying, they kind of were these like second match guys that weren't doing a whole lot. And now they have this opportunity to really kind of shine in the spotlight. And I was surprised that they won this too. I really thought that Kenno and Soya were going to win this. Win the All Japan titles, and then Kenno and Kondo are challenging for Dragon Gate tag gold. I thought they were going to do like a Kenno three belts angle. They're not doing that. You know, that's okay. But I still think like this match was just the best GHC tag title match in at least 2 years, I think, I think it was Sakuraba and Sagara versus Kitamiya and Nakajima when the aggression reformed. That was the one where Kitamiya did the shoot headbutt and busted himself open, and that was like one of the best finishes of the year.
Oh yeah, that match.
That was like the last GHC tag title match on this level for me. And I'm really excited with this. And now we get another Kitamiya versus Sagara GHC tag title match. which I'm excited for. I think like they're a great team for this division. It's cool to see them getting, you know, these opportunities. And I just think like this match was so good. Like this is probably in my top five matches of the year for Noah right now.
Yeah, you know, and I think out of everything, you know, that's great that you loved it that much. And I thought it was a great match as well. I definitely highly recommend it. I like that other match a little bit better just for whatever reason. It Sugiro was in the other match. So that made all the difference.
Yeah, that's fair. And Saku. And it's always fun to see. Like Saku was really on one in that match too. Like that whole title run was so good.
Yeah, even on this show, I still like the Sugiro match the best, but that, I know I'm probably higher than everyone else on that match, but I don't care. I love that match, and I would gladly live on this island of overrating Sugiro matches. And Taniguchi, too, that, like, he's always been my guy as well, so I'm into it. This match was great, though, and I love that you mentioned that, because now with this, I think, when you consider what they've done, you had that weird period where, like, Dupree and Wagner had that run for like a week or whatever, and then it was Elgin and Kitamiya.
Yeah.
And that obviously turned out bad. But ever since then, I think the tag titles have been my personal highlight of this company. Ever since that point, so we're looking at a good 9 months now. You had Hideki and Thatcher, Kojima and Sugiura, and Inaba and Kitamiya. All three of those teams rock. And have done a great job in all of their matches, pretty much. Maybe that one, even the Funky Express and Kojima and Sugiura match was not a bad match at all.
Yeah.
It was good stuff. So I would say ever since then, this has been the consistent title. I don't get annoyed by booking or anything like that with them. And they're doing something cool with it right now, too, which I think is really nice. Like something kind of out of the, you know, I didn't think they were going to win when they did. And I didn't think they were going to retain when they did. So now they've got a little bit, again, much like Bishamon, when they defended those titles last month against TMDK, we all thought they were going to probably lose.
Yeah.
But then they retained. Then they faced Okada and Tanahashi, and they still retained in a fantastic match, one of my absolute match of the year candidates.
Oh, yeah. So good.
Yeah. Now with this, it's like we've got that same thing. I think that's something they're kind of missing. And I'm not going to say Sugiura and Taniguchi are the same as Tanahashi and Okada by any means. But Sugiura is a former champion, a legitimate main guy. And I think we're kind of headed down that road, too. If they can get a win against a major team, like, you know, like a dream team of some sort, I think that could elevate them permanently. In a good way, and I think that they're on their way, and I really love what they're doing with them here. This is like my highlight of the company for sure. Even though I love the junior title with Amakusa is awesome. We love Amakusa. We talked about him earlier, but I think I like the tag teams even more as a division right now, because I love what they're doing with them. So this was a great match overall. A great team, and I love what they're doing going forward too. I can't wait for the next match.
It does kind of feel like, it reminds me of old Noah, like of late 2000s Noah, this like CDG tag title style that they have now. And Kidami is so good. Like he's so underrated. Like I think his like look, his whole gimmick, his moveset, the way he structures his matches, cause he could like go with the limb work. He can go for the prison lock. He can do the dragon screws and focus on the knees, or he can just like trade bombs. He has great lariat, great suplex. Like he's like a ideal wrestler for me. And I'm just really happy that he's like given this shot now and getting these pinfalls and like is a focus of the company for once. Yeah. And then we have this whole, now he has this whole angle coming up with All Japan, which I think is going to be even more interesting.
I wanted to talk about that, too. Before we get to that real quick, I want to kind of round it back to this Keno deal. What's up with this? Why are they – I get the All Japan thing, but what is up with the Dragon Gate deal? Where did that come from?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, like – I don't know. Like, I feel like we've talked about a couple things on this show where, like, my best guess is that, like – maybe Keno's just like really friendly, like in real life. And so everyone's like, oh, Keno, come on. We'll book you, you know, in May. You can have a like maybe he's just a nice guy. And that's like how he gets all this kind of stuff going. Cause
they respect his YouTube game and
Noah, yeah, he's got the YouTube. He's in his car making videos. Like maybe they want to be in one. That's my guess because it just like seems kind of random, especially if they lose the first one. Because then it's like, well, okay, are they gonna like lose all of them? And like, what's the point of it then? But I don't know. Maybe he's in Champion Carnival. Like maybe it's tied into that. Like I don't know. There's something's going on there, but it's more Keno matches, which I think is fine. Like he's been pretty good this year, so I'm down for it.
So yeah, Kento came out, and I mean he got a superstar reaction here. Like I said, he did. Yeah, super swag coming in, as Kento is known for. He comes in here, he talks trash. I think there's the weird thing about this angle in particular. We've had a total of, you know, two matches in all of this so far with All Japan and Noah. You had the match at the Dome and then the Inamura and Kento match earlier this month. At first, it was all about Kento and Nakajima.
Yeah.
Then it's gotten transferred to kind of Kento and Keno a little bit, with Keno trying to invade All Japan. And now it's Kento and Kidemiya on here. It's like they're setting up so many different dominoes, I feel like, with this All Japan and Noah angle where different people are coming in. And like you said, Keno will still be there. They're doing the thing with the tag titles with Yuba and now Yanomura.
Yeah, and like, Keno has this thing with Suwama. He's like being with Suwama now.
Yeah, so it's like we've got like five different feuds in the span of a month in this interpromotional faction. I think it's interesting, but I also think it's kind of on shaky ground, so to speak. Like because we have so much up in the air, I wonder, is that a sign of maybe some sides wanting some things and the other side not wanting these things, and then things getting changed, and what looks like it could be Kojima now in the Champion Carnival. It's a weird situation, like with the stream. But I mean, this angle with Kento and Kidemiya is awesome. On the other hand, calling him by his real name, saying he's not old enough to be Masa. He's got to be 100 years before he gets there.
They're wrestling in a six-man, like, tonight, right? Like, I don't know what time the All Japan show is, but sometimes their shows are early, so I wonder if it's, like, at a reasonable hour. But it's, what, Kento and Inoue and Anzai versus Kidemiya, who else? Kenny Okada is in that, and Abba or someone? There's some six-man.
I think it was Inamura was the six-man, not Inaba. But, I don't know. I mean, it should be a great match. Overall, and it sets up, I mean, again, we kind of assume, we don't know. I mean, this show will air after the All Japan show airs, so we may be completely wrong.
Yeah.
But many people speculate that it's Kojima that's going to team with Tenzan and be the X for the.
Yes. Couple. And what block is that X? Is that the B block X?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Because I know, like, one of the X's, there's X's in both blocks, right? And I think. My guess is that Kidemiya is the X in the block with Kento.
And I think that's what will align. That will be announced as well on the show. Like,
yeah. And then Kojima is probably the X in the other block.
Yeah. So
that'd be cool. Like I'd be really excited for that. Could be huge for Kidemiya and his he might be looking high up on my Wrestler of the Year rankings if he gets a Champion Carnival run. And he gets an N1 run, and he has this tag title match, matches. Like he's been so good this year, so I really hope it is him in the carnival.
I'd love to see it too. I think he'd be a great pick, and a guy that you don't need to win the carnival, but he can have great matches up and down. And since he's the champion, they're going to protect him as well. But he can lose. You know, it's not like he's an unbeatable. I don't know if there is any unbeatable persons in Noah at this point. But
not really.
Yeah, but he is a guy that will represent well and have some great matches in there. And they can build to him versus Kento and make it feel like a legitimate main event match. You know, that Kidemiya is a part of, which I think is a great thing for him overall.
Can I ask you, what do you think of this whole? Where is this all going? Like, do you think we're going to get a new Noah versus All Japan show? Or, like, is the big match still Kento versus Nakajima? Or, like, now we have Jake Lee as champion. Like, there's a lot, like you're saying, there's so many, like, kind of balls in the air. What do you, what do you, what do you foresee as like the culmination of this? Do you think it's like an ongoing thing, or is there like a big blow off show or something? What would you like to see?
Yeah, that's kind of where I was thinking, that it's so weird that all of these things are happening at once, or like in a very short period of time. It feels like things have pivoted from where we were a month ago in a pretty major way. And it just makes me think, I mean, we know that there's always going to be political turmoil when new companies work together. It's going to happen eventually, no matter what. But we've seen recently that that stuff helps companies. However, you know, so I think that they're going to want to make this work. They're going to be very motivated to make it work. I think you've got a ton of, great things with All Japan and Noah on paper because of the relationship with the 2000 split. You've got history to draw off of. And you've got a lot of emotion with Kento and Nakajima, obviously, as kind of the guys that the fans have really pitted against each other. And they had that moment in the Dome, which obviously everybody loved and talked about, but they really moved – they've shied away from that ever since. And with Nakajima challenging for the title, spoiler alert, in this company, I definitely think he's a back burner in any kind of All Japan deal for the time being anyway. I think that this will lead to – here's how I take this, and I may be completely wrong. If somebody in Noah wants to tell me different, I'll listen. But this is just how this is my read on things, okay? Maybe yours is different too. You feel free to explain. I think that the Champion Carnival is like a test run, so to speak. Like from that point, from the Dome to Champion Carnival, that's kind of the demo version of this relationship. And if all goes well, maybe we revisit this year and we could lead to maybe an All Japan guy and in one as well. But I don't foresee this being a thing that dominates the companies, you know, for the rest of the year where it's like they're constantly feuding with each other. I think for the time being, the Champion Carnival will probably be the end of the line of this relationship. And then we'll call back to it later. And maybe after the N1, they can think of that. Because we also don't know how the New Japan relationship is going to work out as well. Because they have relationships with both Noah and All Japan as well. So who's to say? Maybe Noah and New Japan, there's a falling out somewhere along the line, and instead of doing the New Japan show, we have an All Japan and Noah show. Again, we don't know it's going to happen. That's just throwing stuff at the wall. But my speculation is, I feel like we're on kind of a test run right now, and we'll see where it goes after the carnival.
I think that's fair. I mean, like, I think what's interesting is that it sort of – wrestling in Japan right now in 2023 is sort of reminding me of some of the years of Japanese pro wrestling where I first really got into things. Like, I want to say like 2000, let's say like 2007, 2000, like when did you have like Takayama and Suzuki and Sasaki? Like these guys that were kind of like, they could win Triple Crown, they could win GHC, they could win IWGP, they could be in Champion Carnival. Like, I think I would love to see it get to, like, that level. Like, what if, like, Kaito is in the carnival? Or what if, like, Kento gets a GHC heavyweight? Like, I think you could really bust out some crazy stuff. The politics of that are always going to be the hurdle. But, like, man, if they could, like, work together and get something similar to that going, I think that could be so huge for them as the, you know, secondary and tertiary companies in the country to like really get some buzz going. Like if you had this crossover, that's not just a 6-man tag, but crossover in like your heavyweight title matches. I mean, we have it in All Japan right now with Nagata, but it's not the same because it's like, it feels a little, it feels like it's
Nagata's like the bottom ranked guy in New Japan.
Yeah, it seems like kind of fan service to like get New Japan fans interested. Like I would like to see something like their major stars really interacting on a high level and not just like in random multi-man tags. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's see who's – we don't even know that it's Noah guys in the carnival. It could easily be like some random dude. So I'm going to – you know, I'm not going to hold my breath. But I just think that there – I see a glimmer of potential for things to be really interesting over the next couple years, especially with like this relationship and other relationships. but it's exciting regardless. So I'm definitely like, and it seems like All Japan's getting some juice out of it too. So I think that's good, you know, good for them.
And I think it's realistic to think that could happen though. I don't think it's something, it's some pie in the sky type of deal to hope for that. I think it's very possible that Noah and All Japan have a more significant working relationship as time goes along. I do think that it'll take a little time maybe for it to get to that, like, blow, like a versus type of show, Noah versus All Japan. But I think, I know somewhere Gerard DiTrolio's eyes just shot open and, like, he just jumped out of bed and fist pumped, like, randomly. He doesn't even know why. Because I know he loves the idea of Kento coming in and beating Jake for the title and just ruining his life once again. And I think it would be very funny if that happened as well. So I don't know if that'll happen, but it would be very amusing if it did.
I mean, Kento has a long history in Noah. Like, I kind of knew that, but I didn't. I watched him and Nakajima versus Kanemaru and Kotaro Suzuki from, like, 2009, I think. And that match is crazy. And, like, Kento has such a long history with the company and with Nakajima and Kitamiya. Like, man, if you could get him in the mix with some serious, like, singles matches, I think that would be huge. And, yeah, I mean, who knows? Like, like I said, I'm not going to, like, hold my breath and bank on this happening. But I think you're right. Like, it seems like there's possibility, which is exciting.
Is there a possibility of Stinger all getting fired and retiring?
I don't think so. I think it's 0%. There is a strong possibility that this story never ends and it's going.
Well, we
for
saw
years and years.
Yeah, we saw a new chapter. So yeah, we got a ton of comments on Twitter. I asked everybody. I didn't even say anything about Twitter, by the way. I didn't say anything about Stinger, by the way. I just want to point this out. All I said was, "What did you guys think of the show?" That's all I said. I didn't say nothing about Stinger or anything like that. But I just said, what did you guys think of the show with Jake Lee versus Kaito Kiyomiya? I specifically asked a different match, talking about the main event. All of the comments had some negative tones towards Stinger. And it warms my heart that my dislike of Stinger isn't just me going crazy or being a psychopath. Everyone, or a lot of people, maybe not everybody, but a lot of people can see that this is a blight upon humanity, this Stinger angle. Somebody even called him terrorist, which I don't think is possible, but they are bad. But I mean, you know, that's a totally different thing. They're just bad wrestlers. I don't hate him personally. And in fact, I like Ridgeway a lot. I think he's a really good performer. Ogawa's had great matches in the past, a good technical wrestler, you know, in the right circumstance. Clearly, this tag scene is not the right circumstance for that, but I don't think they're talentless. Eita was once good in Dragon Gate, and Noah, I haven't seen any evidence of him being anything except terrible. And Hayata, I think we all know how I feel about him. So this all turned into a bad thing. And the thing is, I didn't hate this match as much as some people, because a lot of people were saying this was the worst match of the year. And I didn't hate it that much. I don't think it was nearly as offensive as, like, the one on the January 1st show I thought was an atrocious match. And the one last month, too, was a terrible match. This was awful, too. Actually, like, I think the other ones are worse, but if you hated this one, I can't blame you. But, yeah. Sell me on this, Dean. Tell me what am I not seeing
here? I mean, so I have a new theory. Like, as someone who's watched every Noah show for many years now, I think there's, like, I just put my brain into Stinger mode when these matches happen, and then it just becomes like a totally...
Did you get drunk while you watch this? Is that
no, Stinger? It's just like, oh, you know, I don't know. It's just like, oh, it's like a soap opera in, like, the worst sense of the word. Like, when they, at the end, with, like, the wife swap angle, where they were like, now we're gonna just, like, we'll be angry at each other, but, like, we're gonna trade partners. It's such a ridiculous idea that I just, like, I don't know. I have no real response to it at this point. And, like, I think when I go into Stinger mode, it's just like, oh, Ogawa's working an arm. That's cool. And, like, that will like get me over for 10 minutes. Like that's entertaining enough to me for like a, you know, a stupid wrestling fan to watch and be like, oh, I like Ogawa. Oh, Ridgeway's doing, you know, limb work on the knee. Like I've seen it so many times, but I guess it's just like, I know what I'm going to get into. And in order to like maintain my sanity in watching so many different permutations of the same match, I just go into stinger mode and then I exit it when the match is over like 40 minutes later. So that's, I think, my way of like not getting angry at these matches and like finding some enjoyment in them. But I totally like see why people are kind of getting bored of this, because this has been, I don't understand, like, who is in Stinger? Like, even on the roster chart, like, Noah does these little, like, roster charts every few months where they, like, put everyone on a little graph and they put little pictures. They had Eita and Nosawa and Super Crazy, like, next to Stinger, but they were, like, a different color and it was, like, unaffiliated. But they were, like, sort of part of Stinger, and it's just, like, it's so ridiculous that I do think you need to like just turn your brain off, turn parts of your brain off when you're watching this and just take a step back. And like, that's how I'm going to kind of think about it. Just like going into stinger mode and finding some enjoyment. Like I thought Eita looked funny with his little headband bandage. Like those are the things that I use, or like I'll be looking at people in the crowd and like noticing stuff like that. Like there's just other strategies I'll implement to get through this, but we'll see. I mean, I'm hoping that Yohei and Tadasuke challenge instead, but we're probably not going to get that. We're probably going to get Ridgeway and Eita for a vacant title.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to ask. Who are the champions here?
I guess Eita and Ogawa are technically the champions, but who knows? What's so weird about this, too, is that apparently this is Ogawa's, like, this is his pet project. Like he books all this. Whether he books just the junior tag titles or like books the whole junior division, I'm not sure. But that's what I've heard. And so that's just like a really interesting idea to me, that one of the best wrestlers of all time is like, this is what he wants to do. Like this is his vision for pro wrestling.
Ruining his legacy, I think, here. Just, but that's the thing. It's like, okay, so Ogawa and Eita won this match. I watched it happen. I'm not making this up. Yes. With a
figure four pinning combination.
Yeah, it was like a technical move. I think it was Ridgeway that took it. And then Hayata and Ogawa are now a team after this. So they leave together. And I was just thinking this whole time, like, who are the champions? Like, what does this mean for the titles? What I need, because I don't think I could ever reach the point where I get into Stinger mode like you. Maybe if Sting was in this division, like the Icon, if he joined this, I think I could get into this a little bit more because I love him and I will like anything Sting is involved with. But I think I need a time machine. We need to go back to Momono Seishu Tag as junior tag champions, and I'll be happy.
I would love that. Yeah,
he's going to come back before this group ever breaks up, before this angle ends. When will this end? We were talking about it when they were together years ago. Stinger was still around, the champions in the tag scene. It's just, this is insane to keep going on and on with this. But somebody stop this man, Ogawa. Somebody stop him. I don't know who. Who has the power? We need to get our connections all together, and we need to say, hey, we've had enough of Stinger and Ogawa. I think everyone secretly knows. Maybe they don't want to admit it, because I think we all respect Ogawa deep down. And we all like Ogawa. He's a very talented wrestler, always was. You know, a legend in the junior division in Noah. Been there since day one. Misawa was very close with him. A former world champion, even.
Yeah.
But that doesn't excuse what's going on right now. You know, at some point we just run out of excuses. Maybe at first it was okay, but now it's time to he's got to go, man. It's time to put him under suspension of his booking duties. It's time to bring in, well, everyone else they have there is nuts, too. So who knows what will happen with the junior titles. And that's the thing. We're going to talk a lot of things, too. Everyone's complaining about the main event booking. I am ambivalent towards that compared to this. For whatever reason, I don't know why this bothers me so much more than whatever happens with Kaito, but I actively hate this. And with the main event, well, let's talk about it now.
That's fair. Wait, can I have one more idea for you about what would you think if Ogawa had one more heavyweight run? Would you be interested in that?
Are any of these other people involved?
No, it's just him. This is my idea.
Great idea.
Another run in the heavyweight division.
Yeah, excellent idea. Keep him.
Get him away from Stinger.
Yes, exactly.
Get him out of those tags.
Hey, his match with Kaito was a great match.
Yeah.
Especially the first one they had together. I mean, that was a great match, which makes this even more baffling because him and Ogawa him and Ridgeway are very talented. And Eita, if he could just get out of just neutral for 5 seconds, could actually be a good wrestler. And, you know, Hayata, I mean, he's going to be there, unfortunately.
Yeah. I want to see Ogawa in N1 one more time before he retires, but that's the last I'll say about Stinger.
I would appreciate that, but like I said, these tag matches really are making me hate him, kind of. A guy that I always respected and liked very much. It's like, no, you suck, actually. Like that. There's every time I watch him, there's a part in my mind that's like, these guys are good. And then there's this other voice that I'm watching that's like, no, this is awful. Stop it. Don't believe these lies that I'm telling myself.
See, I think when you go Stinger mode, you don't believe the lies. You just watch the match and then...
You do have if you go Stinger mode. You lied to yourself, Dean, right now. But anyway, you know, like I said, I mean, I've ranted about them many times, and I will end it there for all of our sake until we get to the comments, which we will read after the main event, which will have more Stinger stuff there. But the main event, GHC heavyweight title, new champion, Jake Lee, beating Kaito Kiyomiya. Fifth defense, V5, is not coming to pass. Jake Lee, the new champion, the good-looking guy, has now proven himself that he is the true leader of the faction, not Jack Morris, and he is now a world champion once again. The lineage of the Triple Crown and GHC Heavyweight Championship holders now has a new name, Jake Lee. What did you think of all this? What did you think of the match and the implications of all of this?
So I think the match was good, but too long. I think Jake might have like a cardio issue. Like he looked pretty gassed near the end. I also think like that might just have been because he was in control for so much and like Kaito was working from underneath for like the entirety of the match, and that will be more taxing on you.
Is it because of the chubby cheeks that he has? Because
I don't know.
As someone who has chubby cheeks himself, I may take offense to that if that's true.
No. He's a good-looking guy. He's the leader of good-looking guys. Like I'm on board with that. But I think this match probably would have been better as 25 minutes instead of 35 minutes. But I still thought it was like a pretty. I saw people like hate this match, which is like, I don't know what they were expecting. Like Kaito does this. He went headlock mode and he spent like 5 minutes doing his headlocks, which is, I love that. Like that's one of the things that Kaito does that I love the most. And then he got dumped on his head with the backdrop. And then he just basically got his ass kicked for most of the match, had a cool, you know, little attempt at a comeback and then got squashed. And for the match itself, I thought like it was very serviceable, like to like pretty good, like because it had a vibe of a big GHC heavyweight match. I think Jake is an interesting wrestler. I do think like it would have been much better if it was much shorter.
You know, let me cut you off there before we get into the booking implications of everything, because I'll talk about the match briefly. I really agree with everything you just said, actually, about the match. The one thing I will say, too, that I think hurt it was Jake. You kind of alluded to it, Jake working on top for so long. I think that Kaito is such a great wrestler. I think he's a fantastic talent all around. And, you know, some people really rip on Jake. Even in All Japan, a lot of people were kind of hating on him by the end.
Yeah,
I'm not a fan of his gimmick at all. The heel shtick, the laughing, all that stuff. I was never into that. But I always saw him as a good worker, like a good wrestler, somebody who could get in the ring and put in some good work, quality stuff. We saw it. He had 60-minute matches with Kento in All Japan that a lot of people really enjoyed, and I enjoyed. I like Jake. Like I said, overall, and I'm not, I don't think you're wrong, because I do think this match was too long. I think if they had balanced it out more, it would have helped the match in a lot of ways, and even in the booking sense, which we're going to get into in a second. I think it would have made a lot more sense for Kaito to really have a lot more in the match in terms of being on offense, just to help make him look a little bit better, which he desperately needed, in my opinion. And then we have this match where Jake's really in control for a lot of it, and it dragged. You know, there's no nice way to say it. But
yeah.
I appreciated what they were going for in the early going. I like you. I agreed with that. I liked the little technical style they had. I thought it didn't really drag to me. It was really more the middle portions where I thought things kept going along too much. And obviously by the end, the ending wasn't super spectacular, in my opinion, but it wasn't bad either. I think this was a solid match. Not terrible, but not great. I saw a lot of low ratings for it. I mean, it's got a 6.58 rating, which that's really low for a title match, like a world title match. Pretty much all of them in every company get high ratings because a lot of people voting are emotionally invested in them, you know?
Yeah.
So they're going to like it a little bit more, you know, no matter what. But for whatever reason, this match just didn't grab a lot of people. But I thought it was good for what it was, even though it went too long. I would have changed some things in the layout as well. But I don't think they performed poorly, if that makes sense. I thought they performed well. And I also don't think it was up to the Kaito standards of match either. If I want to point a finger at anyone, it would be Jake, because we've seen what he could do against Okada and Kenno, and we can talk about booking or whatever, but in those matches, he was absolutely phenomenal in both of those matches. So, and here, I don't think he reached that level either, but I think that's more on Jake and really more on the layout of the match than anything.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. There were a lot of just, like, Jake control segments where he would, like, do something and then just kind of, like, plod around the ring for a little bit, like, recovering. And I don't know if that's, like, a stylistic choice or if he's just, like, I need a little breather, so I'm going to, you know, kind of walk around a little bit and catch my breath. I think he looked gassed at the end, and I think that that's not good. But I don't know. I mean, Noah's style is pretty intense. Like, they do some serious – there's, like, some, you know, serious bumps, and he – hasn't done really anything of note this year. Like he had like one singles match in Noah before this, and it was like a 10-minute squash for Sinamora. So like maybe they just threw him into the deep end too fast. But yeah, I think I'm with you. Like it was a solid to good match for me. I think I don't think it was terrible. It's still a Kaito Kiyomiya match, and he's still the best wrestler in the world. And like his worst match is better than so much other stuff that's out there. So I was fine with the match, and I think I was pretty much fine with the result, too.
And that's what I was about to say. Do you think that the result made people hate on this maybe a little bit more?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, like, there's just – the discourse with Kaito is very unusual to me. I think, like, I've spent a lot of time thinking about this and talking about this and, like, kind of processing the story that they're telling with him. And, like, we've talked about it, too. Like, I don't think that he's nearly as, like, geeked out as people make it seem. And, like, I think him losing this match is actually, like, a better development for his character than it would have been if he won. Because, like, I
agree with that.
Yeah, this, like, current arc of Kaito as the Muto tribute with the peacock colors is, like, not Noah Ace material. And I say that as someone who, like, he's my favorite wrestler. So I think he needs, like, another redemption arc like he had after the first loss to Muto, where he changed his character, he changed his look, he changed his style a little bit, maybe gets another new finisher. I think the Shining Wizard's going to go away.
Oh, thank God. If that happens, I really hope so.
That would be my hope. I do, and you and I have had the same conversation that, like, I think we're in agreement that the true Kaito Kiyomiya is the Misawa influenced wrestler. And, like, the more I think about it and the more I see him wrestle, I think, like, that is the true version of himself. which like might rub people the wrong way because it still is sort of a tribute act, but I think it's a tribute act that feels genuine and sincere and feels yeah. like his true identity. And so I think like it's going to loop back around to that. And I think like that's the next and hopefully like final sort of iteration of like this part of his career. And like people's response has been crazy. They're like, oh, he's got to jump to New Japan. Like he's getting like, it's just like so such an overreaction. And he probably is going to win the N1 again and win the title back in January. So it's sort of like people have no patience with stories, especially like stories that are clearly supposed to be really long and like take span over years of someone's character development. And so I'm very curious to see like what he does in the immediate future, because he's booked in like meaningless mid-card tags on the this next tour. I'm very curious to see like how he looks in a month, like what they set him up with. Like, is he going to go on a losing streak? Is he going to change something? Is he going to wrestle different people? What's going to happen? And then I think like by the summer, he'll be heating up again. And maybe we see a new Kaito come N1 2023. And then who knows what that looks like. Maybe this is, you know, another change in his character. And it's just an interesting story. And I think like this is, I'm perfectly fine with this like decision. And I think there'll be some interesting stuff to happen both with Jake and with Kaito, you know, over the next few months.
The thing is, I think that that's interesting because what you said is literally what happened last year, where he had a new Kaito heading yep. around N1, and then he won the N1 and then won the title, yep. and it was supposed to be this big run, and now we're doing, according to this idea, the exact same thing again here, yeah. which I think that's not interesting to me, actually. Like, and I think that's my main problem with all of this. I totally – and here's the thing. I get where you're coming from, that maybe people are overdramatic sometimes, but when you saw that Okada match and he pulled him up after 3 – you didn't think that made him look like a geek?
No, I think, like, it depends on what we're talking about. Like, did it make him look like he wasn't on Okada's level? Yes. But my interpretation of that as, like, part of his story arc doesn't – I don't, like, have a negative feeling about that. Like, it just makes me want to root for him more. And I think that, like, that's something that people don't really, like – give as much credence to, because like if you watch the video packages, they show this as this transformational moment for him. It's not like it's something that they're like trying to hide or are yeah. embarrassed about. Like I think his part of his story is growing through these losses and like having these very sort of like insurmountable challenges, and he's only 26. Like, I don't know how interesting it would be if you have your 26-year-old run through all of this and never lose these big matches. Because, like, what do you do when he's 28? You know, Okada's 33, I think, 34.
Yeah.
He's in an absolute zenith of his career. He's got the Inoki power. He's yep. got this new badass energy. Like, he geeked out Shota and Ren on that tag just like a couple weeks ago. Like New Japan's geeking out their own guys to Okada, because Okada is on a totally another tier than any other wrestler in Japan right now. And so like for me, I don't see it as like, I understand why people think it's like bad booking, but I think that there's room to sell it as like a, don't you want to see the hero like make his triumphant, you know, come back? And that's like, it's like a Rocky movie. It's like, how bad can you push, how bad can you make his circumstances for him to like overcome something and have a story? And like that resonates with me. And I think that that's like interesting.
Okay.
But I see like why people would think that that's stupid, but it just doesn't bother me as much because it's like, I don't think there's many, and the other angle is always like, oh, well, like people are going to not want to watch Noah. Like, I can't imagine the mindset of the person that, like, let's say they've never seen a Noah show before and they watch that match, they watch Kaito versus Okada, and they see Kaito and they see him lose, I don't think there's many people that are like, oh, he lost this fake match. I don't care that he's such an amazing wrestler. I don't want to see him wrestle again. Like, that interpretation never made sense to me, because I think, like, there is a reason to get invested in someone that is a loser. And he's not a loser, but he's had these big high profile losses that add to his character, for me at least. And I think, like, there are people that vibe with that. And I think, you know, it's a big reason why he has such an interesting sort of story and character arc. And who knows how it's going to pan out. Like, it could not work. It's definitely a gamble, but I think, like, I just don't think it's as bad as people make it out to be, basically.
I think that could work, except we've seen it happen over and over with this guy, you know, like this same person. We've had a bunch of different transformations. We had the original version, the Misawa version, which was great to me, felt like an ace, great champion, and was very successful. Like, him and Kenno had a great run at Sumo Hall with their most successful show in years at that point.
Yep.
Then we had the kind of the dark version of Kaito after Go stole his look for some reason.
Yeah.
So it was Taito. We had the black, you know, tights version. Then we had we had multiple versions of this latest version too. Like, now that he's got the championship, he changed again, because he had that first version with the Muto stuff, and that quickly changed to this more the one that we see now. So we've seen three or four different transformations at this point, and now we're banking on a fifth to finally get it right. And to me, if he was great, he wouldn't need to change. You know, Misawa never changed. You know, Misawa never had to change. And I think that's why what you said about the discourse is interesting, because at the end of the day, you're talking about all of these things and you're comparing him to Narita and Umino. When people want to see Kaito, I think most Noah fans, they want to see him be the ace of the company, you know, at the end of the day. And there's never been an ace that's been treated like he has. That's gone through.
That's fair.
And I'm not criticizing what you said, because that could be an interesting story, especially on the meta level. Like you said, whatever happens with him, he could walk out as the next Doink the Clown, could be his next reinvention, and he'll still be an amazing wrestler. You know, that's not going to change for me. But I also, when you're the world champion and you're losing in 15 minutes to a guy and he's putting you over, when that match happened, I said immediately, he's got to lose the title. Me and Striga argued about it on the last episode. He thought for sure Kaito would win, and I said, no way, he can't be the champion. Like, look what happened to him and Okada. Yeah. And it's just a bad look overall. And my take on that is, maybe I'm too cynical, and maybe you'll be proven right at the end. But to me, that Okada thing, to me, that felt like a company that had all the control when it comes to the Muto main event. They had to have Naito on that show, and they needed Okada on the show, which helped Noah. It helped Noah beat Wrestle Kingdom. When was the last time that happened in Japan?
Yeah.
It helped them do it. And Okada, to me, Okada and Kaito was the match I was most looking forward to. And I don't think I was alone in that, even more than the retirement match. Obviously, I mean, the retirement match was an amazing spectacle, you know, when it comes to the emotions and all of that. But you remember the kick angle? With Kaito Okada?
Oh, yeah.
That had everybody talking on Japanese Twitter, English-speaking Twitter.
Yeah.
That was an amazing moment. And I said at the time, if you remember, that I really think that the best way to – I really thought that they shot their load too early on the Kaito and Okada deal. I wish that they had had a match where Kaito had scored a big win, not over Okada, but over a main guy, you know, an upper mid-card type of guy, even if it was just a Tanahashi.
Yeah,
I think that would mean something for him, and then build him up to Okada, and you could have had a real match. But that, to me, felt like New Japan had a little bit, you know, some dick-swinging action was enacted on that show. Where, hey, what are you going to do? If you don't put Okada over super strong, well, Naito's not going to be there. And then what are you going to do? You know, it's like they really had no choice but to go along with New Japan's. And I know how New Japan politics as well, so I can pull like a move.
But why wouldn't they – I think, like, couldn't they just book a tag in that spot and have Okada, Merc, like, Inamura or something?
But they wanted to Merc Kaito.
Who? New Japan?
Yeah.
That's – I don't know. That's
– they embarrassed Noah on that show. I mean, because the champion – and that's why I said he can't be the champion. But you have an embarrassment as a champion right now. He can't be the champion. It had to be Jake.
No, I agree. But Noah didn't need them to sell out the show. Like, I think we were in agreement this was going to sell out. The Muto retirement would have sold out without any New Japan talent.
But what would have? But what could the other match have been if not Naito?
I mean, you could have done a. We talked about this, like a legend six man tag or something.
That
I
think would fly at the dome. Like, you don't maybe think so? No, because everyone brings that up about Kobashi's show, and that was not at the dome. That was at Budokan Hall. And with the dome, you needed a main match. I always knew it would be a singles match between them. And on top of it, let's remember, he faced Nakamura already on the build up to it. So I really felt like they would need a bigger match to the Japanese.
That's fair. Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know, but then like so. Let's say you don't, right? Let's say you book a six-man tag with, like, Fujinami and all those dudes. Yeah. Like, are you really selling that many less tickets?
I don't think you beat Wrestle Kingdom with that.
Yeah, that's, but still, that's, like, 25,000 versus 30. Like, I just don't know if, like, I think a lot of the Kaito discourse, like, comes to a conclusion that is, like, the assumption is that the Noah office is just like, we don't care. Like, yeah, make him look like a geek. Like, this guy sucks. But, like, they
I don't know about that.
They can't be that blind to what they have. There, like, has to be a story. And, like, this is what happened when he first lost to Muto.
Right.
When I was like, no, there is, like, a point to this. Like, he'll go through something. And then he got the win over Muto. It wasn't a dominant win, or it wasn't how people imagined it. It still was a big deal. It was a top match of the year candidate in basically every poll in Japan. And I think it helped him in the long run.
But I was going to ask you about that. Do you think it really did? Because I think actually this...
You think it didn't?
No. I think it's actually hurt him. I think this Muto cosplay has made him look way worse. Like, I don't think he looks good at all. And you just said that he's going to throw all of this away and change something completely different.
Yeah. No, I think he is. But I think, like, to his general drawing ability and his like presence in the mind of Japanese wrestling fans.
Yeah.
Being associated with Keiji Muto was a huge plus. And having that win, however you know, kind of janky as it was, he got a win over Muto and was in Tokyo Sports and was on the minds of people. And like, I don't think that can be downplayed because of how big Keiji Muto was.
Yeah.
Like, he's one of the only pro wrestlers that, like, the average person on the street in Japan would know. There's, like, three names. It's, like, Muto, Kensuke Sasaki, Riki Choshu.
Well, Inoki would be number one, obviously.
Well, I think, like, with younger people, like, they don't know as much about Inoki, but, yeah.
Maybe.
They're up there. But, yeah, but that's what I'm saying, right? Like, I think that helped him, because it's Kaito Kiyomiya. Noah was in, you know.
Yeah.
In a bad spot. And
I understand what you're saying with that, but on the other hand, we also have yet to see any actual evidence of this helping him with any kind of drawing perspective.
Well, he drew 2,500 to his defense versus Jack Morris, which is, there's no, you know, that's more than a lot of other companies could do, I think.
That's right. Noah, and I think that's a thing. That's another thing. I do think the discourse on Noah is a little too negative overall. When you look at their numbers, and like you were saying on your tracker, they're up above pretty much everybody except the top two companies, you know, so I think that they deserve a little more credit than they get sometimes. But, you know, a lot of his story so far, so he beat Muto, like you said, I think the win was fine, like, ultimately. I mean, we can nitpick, say, Muto didn't stay in the ring long
enough.
Like, you know, that was cool. And then he got the win over Hideki, which that also did do a good number, and I was really impressed with that match, which is Hideki's, obviously. The first thing we saw after he won the title was him getting beer poured on his head, right?
You know? Vegeta,
Yeah, and then the Thatcher defense, which, I thought that was a great match, and I know you did too, but the Korakuen was pretty down. They still couldn't get over that hump, even with all the titles behind them. I think he was in a big, tough spot. His next story was him not being in the main event of the Muto and Nakamura show. I think that's a tough look for him. I think that they haven't... I don't know. I mean, I want to be invested in this man, but we're talking about the best-case scenario is him doing the exact same thing he's done three or four times before. And I don't know if I want to go on this ride again for it to end the same way. You know, I think that they have a long way to go with him. Like, I'll put it that way. I'm not like, I think his talent for me personally as a fan is so high that I'm I'm going to be into him no matter what he does, just as a wrestler. But if I'm looking at wins and losses, or like, you know, that kayfabe type of fan, I'm, you know, it's hard for me to really rally behind him. I mean, you know, with him, it's like Noah seems like the NFL team that trades up to number one, and then you hear about him wanting to trade down again. I mean, only the biggest idiotic bullcrap team in the NFL would ever think of doing something like that. And that's what that's the vibes I get from this. It's like Kiyomiya is a number one pick in the pro res draft, in my opinion, talent wise. And now you've traded back down. I feel like, you know, you got him back up a little bit. You trade him back down. You got him back up again. It's like, I think if that happens, let me ask you this thing. When is the point where it becomes too much for you, that as a fan and, you know, somebody who's appreciated the story, what it was? When is that point, in my opinion? Let's say they do what you said and he wins the title again in January. And then a few months later, he gets geeked out, quote unquote, and then something happens and then he loses the title. At what point do you even say, all right, maybe they could have done this better?
Well, I will say, like, I'm definitely not saying they've done it perfectly. Like, I think there have been missteps, and there were so many opportunities to do things in a better way than they did. My main argument is that, like, I don't think it hurt him versus, like, him not being involved with Muto at all, or him not getting the Okada match. Like, I think the gains outweighed the losses in these circumstances, because he just has this – like, he just through sheer willpower got a singles match with Okada, which is insane considering where he was in 2019 and how young he is, you know?
To be fair, I also think the build-up also hurt Kaito, because the whole deal was Okada saying, I don't want to wrestle this geek. He's not on my level.
And then he proved
that he was a geek and not on his level in the match.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. But I also think, like, I don't think that's incorrect. I guess just, like, as a fan of a company that is this, it's so far behind New Japan, and maybe I'm just, like, cynical, because, right, like, looking at the numbers and, like, just, I still watch tons of New Japan. Like, they are the big leagues. And, like, I do understand your argument, like, hey, maybe let's pretend that we are on this level. But, like, the reality is that he's not. Especially to this version of Okada, like right now, this absolute peak level Okada.
Let me ask you this. All of that stuff you said about Kaito, because I think there's some validity to what you're saying. I'm not saying you're, like, way off the mark. I do think I'm probably a little harder on it than you, and I definitely think that Okada, was a big step back, in my opinion. But
yeah, that's fair. It's totally fair. Like, I totally understand the critique. I don't want to seem like I'm dismissing it.
No, you're not at all. I don't want to seem like I'm dismissing you either, or anything like that, because I understand where you're coming from. But let me ask you this. And this is, I think, the ultimate thing where, because I've always compared these two particular wrestlers. Who would you say, and you mentioned the eyes of the fans and everything about it, who would you say is a bigger star, Kaito or Kento?
That's hard. I mean, I don't think just numbers-wise, like, I mean, my understanding of, like, how a lot of fans view wrestling in Japan is, like, really, it's just my opinion, and it's, like, informed from talking to people, and, like, I could be totally wrong, but it seems like a lot of people, like, associate more with the brand of the promotion than, like, an individual. Like, there are fans of Big Japan that go to Big Japan shows, and it's
I agree with you on that.
They like Sekimoto, but then Sekimoto's not there anymore as much, and now it's Okabayashi, and, like, they go through, but they're loyal to the brand. And so, like, I don't think there's any way Kento Miyahara draws 2,500 fans to a Jack Morris level title match.
Well, that is true, but in the Dome, he got a huge reaction.
I think he has a lot of fans, and I think All Japan has built him into a figure that is more on the level of an Okada than Kaito is now. Yeah. Like, it would be crazy for me to argue against that. But I think when it comes to, like, just raw drawing power, like, Noah is ahead of All Japan in that regard.
Oh, that's unquestionably true.
Yeah. Noah's so, like, helpful. And that ties into, right? Like, who is a bigger draw? Is it Noah's top guy, or is it All Japan's top guy? Who looks more like an ace? It's definitely Kento. Like, he's a dominant figure and has been for years.
And I've always said that Kaito's a better wrestler. Sorry to cut you off. But I've always said Kaito's a better wrestler than Kento.
Oh, yeah. I think so. Yeah, I'm not the biggest Kento fan, but I think I've liked his stuff this year.
Yeah, did you like the Nagata match? Because I thought he actually worked a little different in that match than he normally does. I actually like that better than the Takuya-Nomura match.
I'm in agreement with you. I like my critique of him is he's a little formulaic, and I thought Nagata kind of broke him out of that, which was cool.
Yeah, totally. And Okada was very formulated for so many years,
in my
opinion. So I really think Kaito is like the best worker of all of the aces. But I also think it's fair to say Kento has something inside of him that Kaito doesn't have yet.
Yes, he's very charismatic. I saw someone on Discord said that they had been to an All Japan show and Kento was like cutting his promo at the end and like he was just so captivated. And he was like, Kento could become a cult leader. He's so charismatic. I think that was Andrew. So shout out Andrew for that anecdote. It was very funny. Like Kento has this like natural magnetism that is very obvious that like there's not many people in Japan, period, that have that sort of vibe and have that energy to them. So like, I think he is a bigger star in that sense. Like if they're just like put these guys in a ring, who looks more like an ace? It's Kento, as much as that pains me to admit, but I think that Kaito is a bigger deal because of his recognition with Muto and Okada and where Noah is right now.
Do you think Kaito can get that, though? Like what Kento has at this point?
That's a good question. Like, I don't know if that is...
I actually think he can, even despite all of this and all my criticisms. Yeah. I think if they flipped a switch, it was like, all right, enough goofing around. Like, we have to make this guy the ace. Like, for real now, pretty much. Like, give him that transformation you mentioned. Like, okay, this is your final form. We're going to put everything we can into this. If they did that, and they gave him a good run, and a true ace run, the likes of which has been repeated many, many times over the years of different people, to mostly success. Like, you know, when they pick guys like that, that's how you get legends, like your Inokis, your Mutos, your Misawas, and all of that. And I think that's a problem with Noah in general, because I don't think they've ever actually had a true ace since the Kobashi days. You know, like that level of Okada-esque legend. They've never replicated before Kaito even got here. I mean, they've had great champions. I love Kenta's main event run as heavyweight. That was great. But I don't think he was that level, company revolves around him the way Okada is with New Japan now, where it's like he is that dude. I think they've ever had that since Kobashi.
I think Shiozaki for 2020, like there was a time period where I think it was all about, you know, Go was saying I am Noah.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, you're right. But it was brief.
It was maybe a year and a half.
Yeah, and I think that's why I didn't bring him up, because it was a little brief. But for that time period, I agree with you.
I mean, all of your points make a lot of sense. I think I'm in agreement with most of them. I do think the only thing that still stands out to me is like how young Kaito is. Kento's 8 years older than him.
Yep.
And that's why
I said I think he could get it, actually.
I think he can, too. I think it like is really crucial to see like what this next iteration looks like, because I think you're right. Like, we can't have this be an annual thing where Kaito, like, for half the year is beast and, like, wins a title and then, like, all of a sudden loses it and, like, he has a losing streak. He's probably going to job to, like, Masato Tanaka on some house show. And then he'll, like, he dyes his hair black or he takes out the hair dye and he has a new costume. Like, okay, I can see. Let's do it again. That's fine. I'm hoping, like, he becomes the real sort of ace figure with this last kind of try at it. I do think like the reason that if I was in the Noah office, I would be able to play with this and like have these stories going is because I do think like Go Shiozaki is still, I think they're waiting for this last Go Shiozaki ace run. And I think we got the first step, like the zero step here, because Nakajima challenged and he said, I am Noah.
Yeah. Good point.
And so I think it's going to be Go and Jake at Sumo Hall in May, because that's like the next big show after the Nakajima match.
Oh, that would be cool.
That's my guess. And I think that this, like if I'm fantasy booking the whole thing, right, and it's pure fantasy booking, like we get Go and Kaito at Budokan 2024, and that's like the
passing the torch.
That's the passing of the torch. The official Budokan main event. Kaito's in the spot.
Does he get his gear back?
He comes out with green tights. He's doing the Misawa bit. Like that's how I book it.
Yeah,
that's when the ace ship is handed from Shiozaki to Kiyomiya. 2024, Kaito goes on a beast run. Everyone's happy.
Go has to forfeit the green and the robe and all that. It must go back to its rightful owner.
Yeah, Go can then do a Kobashi black and purple orange deal.
Yeah.
Let's do that. That's how I do it. Will they do it? Almost definitely no. But we'll see. Who knows what's going to happen. But
hey,
that's like how my brain works when it comes to this sort of story.
I love how we had this long conversation about Kaito. And we barely even talked about the champion right now.
I mean, it seems transitional. Like, I don't think it's... I don't know. Do you think he's going to stick around?
I don't know, because he's so weird when it comes to New Japan. Like, he's always talking about them and wanting to go there, it seems like. And now it seems like he's on the Noah train, because he's like, oh, I think the Noah wrestling's better. And then that last interview he did. And I was like, hey, wait a minute. Just a couple of months ago, you said you wanted to go to New Japan again.
Yeah, it's weird.
So, I don't know. I don't know what his deal is, but I said it at the start of all this, you know, tangent we've went on. I like Jake. You know, maybe I'm a loner on this one. I actually think he's a good wrestler. I don't hate that they put the title on him or anything like that. Because, like I said, a lot of people were so angry about this, and I was just like, I personally thought they had to make this move for the reasons I said about the Okada match before.
Yeah, I agree.
So I expected it, and I think they had a decent match. Like I said, it wasn't as great as it could have been, but I still like him as a wrestler. And I think him and Nakajima actually match up really well together, and they're going to have a really cool match, in my opinion. Maybe I'll be stupid, and you'll come back on here, and you'll be like, what were you talking about?
No, I think that you're right on. I think that's totally – he needs someone that's going to, like, hit him hard. Like, I think that is the key to a good Jake Lee match. And I think Nakajima is a really good candidate for that.
Yeah, totally. But, I really appreciate those thoughts. And I appreciate you saying something different as well. There are a lot of people. Like, what you said was not wrong at all. I thought you made some good points, to be honest. So thank you for letting our listeners know that.
No, I know it's like, it is what it is. Like, I think it's definitely frustrating if you want to see, like, sort of a traditional booking of Kaito as the supernova and as the ace of the company. But, you know, it could all be wrong in a few years, but I think if we look back on this in 2 or 3 years and things do look different and he is this central figure, then I think it all kind of makes sense in retrospect.
Your age point is good, though. He's still very young overall. Yeah. So hopefully we see some good stuff. But I do think, too, there's such a thing as like age, and then there's age in your viewing mind. So, like, he's been around for years now.
Yeah, this is true.
Know? And I think that's actually more important than age. Like, Hideki's older, but he's still fresh, kind of, in our minds, because he doesn't wrestle as much. I'm trying to get Hideki to win the title, to be honest. I don't care about
the deal. Yeah.
I just want Hideki to win.
I think he would win national gold, but, like, Noah doesn't seem to want to give the main title to freelancers. Although I don't know if Jake is signed yet. I wouldn't be surprised if they announced that he signed a contract in the next month or so, because that's what they did with Muto and Fujita. They, like, signed them after they won the gold. So we'll see. But, anything to get more Hideki singles matches is going to get my cosign.
Yeah. And a lot of people had some fun comments on Twitter. I'll read some of those since you took the time to send them in. Nick Awad, 92, great year, 92 was. One step closer to GHC heavyweight champion Kento Miyahara. So we kind of addressed that earlier.
Yeah.
That's pretty humorous if that happens, but I don't know if that's the plan. But I actually think that would be kind of cool, just because of – then that would totally solidify them having a working relationship, All Japan and Noah.
Yeah.
Resident of Evil at J_Driller. He's a joke-ass booking is what I think on there. So not a big fan of that. Ashutosh, my good friend, I love that guy. He says, bad, 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 horrible, Stinger are terrorists, everything sucks, there's no point of life. So Noah is ruining people's lives as well.
Yeah, it'll do that.
Maybe a little dramatic overall. Raleigh Sun Mason says wrong man won. I think, like I said, if things had worked out differently, if the Okada match had been a little bit more 50-50, I'd agree. But with what they did, I think they had to take the title, in my opinion. Chris L, he says, a long-time listener. Thank you, Chris, for sending a comment. He said, thought the match was quite good, and I'm happy to be enjoying Jake Lee again after really not enjoying him at the end of his time in All Japan. It's just a real shame that has to come at a time where I really don't know how many times this could happen to Kiyomiya, and what now for him and Okada? That's something we kind of danced around. Do you think there's an end game with Okada, like he finally gets that big win?
I would hope so. I mean, I think it's possible, depending on how these relationships work out. They did a similar thing with Marufuji in 2016. If you put Kaito in the G1, he does okay. He beats Okada in the G1, and then he jobs again in a title match. I don't know. Everyone comes out looking fine after that, you know?
Yeah, I think that would definitely help a lot if that happened. Yeah.
I could see it. I mean, they did that exact thing with Marufuji in 2016.
Just kind of reversed because he beat Okada first and then lost to
But I would hope that that's in the cards. But you never know.
I wish that they just give him a win over somebody, even if it's not over Okada. Just let him show that he's at least on the level, you know, like at least be on his level. You know, if you don't want him to beat Okada, just let him look on his level. That's all I ask. And have him beat Tanahashi or somebody like that, even though I love Tanahashi, but still. Finding Zemo says, boring match structures. Junior Tag was one of the worst matches this year. I love the stinger hatred of our listeners. Main was just nothing. Never got out of second gear. Only the tag title match was very good. But don't forget about Segura and Taniguchi. That was my match, man, on there. But I like the main event well enough. But I can understand why people thought it was kind of... I think this match will be forgotten, to be honest. I think the Kaito and Kendo match was a lot better, I would say. I think actually even the Kaito and Jack match was even better a little bit.
Yeah.
Bender is great, which I too totally agree. Huge Bender fan. Bender bending Rodriguez. He says, if Stinger sucked any harder, the broadcast would be pulled back into my computer. Excellent work. Spoken like Bender would say. That said, the rest of the show is decent. I'm willing to give good-looking guys a chance, but I hate that at the expense of Kaito. Like I said, I really blame the Okada stuff more than Lee overall. Like you said, I kind of get the same vibe you do, that's more of a transitional thing. I don't think that he's suddenly going to become the ace of Noah.
He's going to have two title matches, and then who knows?
Yeah.
He's going to be in the G1 after that.
He wished me anyway. They don't want him there. At BloodRazor8 says, Frank says, it was just okay. So what's the plan for the Noah experts? Get the strap off Kaito so he can do some jobs in G1? Why go to Lee? That's the thing. If he were in the G1, kind of what you said, I think he's the kind of guy that doesn't really need to make the finals. I think if he beat Okada, even if he lost some other matches, it wouldn't hurt him.
Yeah, I mean, he lost to Jack Morris and Kitamiya in 2022. Yeah. He overall, like, this is another thing that I think, like, gets people might have misconceptions about. Like, his singles record win-loss-wise is, like, on par with any star in the country. Like, he does not lose a lot. Like, just to be clear, like, he wins the vast majority of his singles matches. He beat everyone in Noah. He beat Funaki, he beat Kojima, he beat Muto, he's beating everyone. But if he does a G1 and it's like a 6-person block thing like last year, or was it 7 people per block? Whatever it was like smaller.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, maybe he beats Okada and then you can have him drop a match to like, I don't know, Tama Tonga or something. No one's really going to care. It's a G1. Everyone loses. Okada lost to Jonah last year. You could lose to someone random in the G1, and you'll be fine.
Hey, first of all, I like that Jonah and Okada match, actually. And
it was good, yeah.
Yeah, and I do like Tama Tonga, actually. I don't want to hate on him overall.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying, you know, he could drop a couple losses and then set up that as the whatever they do in October now, used to be King of Pro Wrestling. I don't know. They're changing the names of all those shows.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We never figured that out, why they did that. But Janice says, Stinger is fun. So I don't agree with that. But I like different opinions. That's all I'm saying. I want you guys to like different stuff than me. you know, that's why I appreciate you coming on, Dean, because you got
you. Thank you. Opinions.
There, although we actually like we were kind of the same on the show, just the stinger is the one thing that will divide us all. But the life of your DNH, he says, I can't understand this. Ellipsis. Why Jake effing Lee? Ellipsis. I hate this. So
yikes.
Yeah, not a fan of Jake. But the thing is, I know a lot of people make he's the only guy that's made fun of more than Kaito on the English speaking Japanese wrestling Twitter, and I like both of them, so I will not give up on Jake. And finally, Fritz says bad. So he's made a few words, but impactful ones nonetheless. But regardless of that, I think that the show itself was pretty good, actually. Like I said, the main event's what everybody's going to point to. And I really think, and I actually agree with the booking. I really don't hate this particular moment. It's all of the other stuff that I maybe disagree with. But this particular moment, I don't disagree with. And I think that soured some people's shows, taste on the show. But I think if you watch the Sugiura and the Taniguchi match, you watch the tag titles match especially, those two matches, I think, as the tag title match, I think anybody could like any wrestling fan. And I think if you're the kind of fan like me and you like Sugiura style, that and Taniguchi will be great. And go back to the couple weeks ago and watch the Makusa and Hiroki match and the Harada and Kotage match. You've got some good things going. You've got some interesting thing. We had that conversation on Kaito, but I don't hate it. It's more like I'm ambivalent on Kaito, and I just watch him as a great wrestler. I really hate the Stinger stuff.
That's fair.
Yeah, like I said, we had a debate on Kaito, but really, I'm not nearly as down on that as the juniors.
I can't even, form a debate that's pro-Stinger, so I've resorted to just, random bullshit. But I have one last question for you. So looking at the schedule, May 4th, they're in Sumo Hall. I said I think it's going to be Go versus Jake. Do you have any other ideas of what they could put in that spot? Because that's a big show.
Yeah, that is a big show. And it's cool that that's one thing you can't take away. You know, we could talk about Kaito himself all day. But the brand itself, it's grown over the past couple of years.
Yeah.
And I think that's undeniable. In terms of the Sumo Hall show, like you said, they really set up with the I Am Noah line that would be Go's big return. And I think that would be a good kind of card to play, a good drawing card. I don't know. Did they ever wrestle in All Japan? Because Jake took
That's a good question.
Yeah. Like we gotta look at that on there.
I'm gonna type it in right now.
Yeah, wonderful website called CageRef.net.
Do you think there is any chance that Nakajima wins, and they do Nakajima versus Go again?
Oh, that would be like a stunner, but in a way, I think everybody would be really. I think if that happened, no singles matches between Go and
Jim. Yeah, they teamed together twice in June 2015.
Yeah, that was like right before Go left, a couple of months before he left All Japan. But yeah, I think if they did that, like Nakajima winning the title, any negative thoughts on Kaito would kind of go away because I think people would be so hype for Nakajima, especially among the English speaking fans. The Japanese fans, they have their own style, and I know in a little bit it's pretty good, maybe even better than average, but I don't claim to know it nearly as well as the English side. Over there, and like I said, we both have our sources over there and talk to people, but it's different living there, I always say, and that's how I feel anyway. Maybe I'm pinpoint accurate secretly, but I don't think I am overall. But I think that like the English speaking side would be super hype over Nakajima. That would feel like a kick in the pants and a fresh start. I think it's hard because he's a guy that had a little bit of a run in the Dome where he was the centerpiece of him versus Kento.
Yeah.
So I think that was like his hottest he's been in months. You know, he really wasn't doing anything. And what did he do on the January 1st show? He was like an undercard tag, right?
Yeah, he did nothing. Yeah, he was in just a multi-man.
He lost to Shingo in the New Japan Noah show. And then, his big win is beating Okada, basically, Kenya Okada.
Yeah, he's done really nothing this year, but they've definitely leaned into this whole, flash knockout power thing for him. Like, they haven't shied away from it. Yeah, it is. And, I think it could, You could work that then. You could have an angle where he work knocks out Jake Lee. It doesn't actually doesn't shoot and break his jaw, but can like you work that he did that. Jake looks protected to an extent.
Oh, I love this idea. Like this reminds me of Akira Maeda.
Yeah.
Right?
Like the only thing is, and I've like done some, you know, really stupid analysis of the numbers. Like Nakajima's drawing record as champion is like particularly bad. And like a lot of people will point to like context around it. Like he was, his first reign was like right after the Suzuki Goon stuff.
Yeah.
And so they were like really down low. But like even his numbers over the pandemic for like not only matches where he was champion, but matches where he was the challenger. Yeah. He's like on the low end of the spectrum with Fujita and like nowhere near people like Go and Muto and Kaito. So who knows? But,
yeah, the first reign, I remember that reign well. It was so weird because he had a great look when he was younger, very unique, and then he became champion. It's like the next show he comes out, cut his hair, black tights, you know, black boots, black and silver, changes theme music. It's like you turn this guy to the most generic dude as champion. So I really hated that. But, yeah, I mean, that's a good point as well. Maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know. But my gut says I love your idea of him fake shooting on Jake to win the title, like a ref stoppage finish.
I would like it. And then him versus Go at Sumo Hall.
Yeah, and you can even build up to Jake coming back, like take a month off and then, you know, come back later and you could have a big match for that. Or, you know, even if it's not for the title, you could have Jake get revenge and Go. I love your idea of Go coming back to challenge at Sumo. I think that's going to happen. I like your idea. I think Jake's going to win, but your idea is so good. I hope they do it.
Thank you, but I just can't think of anything else they can put in a big building right now. Because Kaito's out. He's not going to get back in the title mix. Yeah. Kenno already got a shot, and he's doing this tag stuff.
Yeah.
They don't really have anyone else to cycle into that spot. We talked about Marufuji. He's going through the motions. He looks completely checked out. Like, I think, and, you know, we've heard nothing about Shiozaki. And then Nakajima says, I am Noah. And so that just raised my antenna a bit. And I can't wait for him to come back. And I hope it is in early May. That'd be really cool.
Absolutely. I really agree with that. And as always, I really appreciated you coming on. I had a ton of fun talking over 2 hours about Noah.
Thanks, yeah, me too.
You know, love giving Noah some shine on the show. Like I said, next week, Strigo will be back on the show. We'll be talking about all sorts of stuff. We'll ask him if he listens to the show. He might not have time for it, but I'll ask him about it anyway. We'll get his opinions on at least the main title. And we'll talk about the All Japan, the New Japan, and all that stuff in the future. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/EasternLariat. And me and Dean have done a bunch of Noah shows on there, too. I always love having him on there. But I've done shows about a lot of stuff. Recently, we did a show. I've been covering all the New Japan Cup shows on the $5 tier. We've got TJPW, me, Sandre, and Yannick covered. We got stuff going on all over the place. I'm going to do an All Japan show as well, probably by the time this airs. So we're getting a lot of stuff on there. That $5 tier, the big Hosh tier is where you want to go, to be honest. And very happy to be on the Cage Match Network as well. Like I said, it took a ton of effort and time to get on here, but thank you to all the new listeners because we got a ton on the last episode. We really appreciate it. And I know Striga is very happy to be here. Obviously, he's like one of the main guys on the website, but besides all that, I post all the links to everything anyway. But just for funsies, Dean, what do you want to say to close the show? You got any advertisements, or do you just want to say something to everybody? Or do both. Either one's fine.
Nah, I mean, I'm on Twitter, DNMT67. If you use Discord, there's a Noah Discord. It's really fun. We do Match of the Week every week. Mark Pickering's on there. Shout out Mark. You can have some banter. But yeah, you know, I really appreciate, you having me on. It's so fun to talk about Noah with you. And I'm really looking forward to all the, Eastern Lariat family, all the stuff you got in the works. I'm really excited for it.
And hopefully everybody is, and hopefully you stick around for a long time in the Eastern Lariat family, Dean, because I really appreciate having you on. Hopefully everybody enjoyed the show. watch some Noah, watch some wrestling. There's all kinds of good stuff. You know, Noah kind of, Dean kind of alluded to it earlier. Noah is kind of leading the pack in terms of what we really fell in love with when we watched wrestling before in Japan, the interpromotional stuff. So everybody needs to check it out, some kind of Japanese wrestling, yeah, just sometimes of wrestling in general. Have some fun. I know WrestleMania is coming up. AEW's got stuff going on there. Whatever you like in wrestling, watch it. Lucha Libre is really cool as well. I just watched Dos Leyendas the other day. So lots of fun stuff in wrestling everywhere. And we'll be talking about it here, there, and everywhere else. As always, you know I love you. And until next time, sayonara.